Coming to the Cascade Theater February 2nd, The Golden Dragon Acrobats. From China, The Golden Dragon Acrobats feature a high-energy evening of breathtaking acrobatics and daring stunts, plus dance, juggling, and trapeze. The Golden Dragon Acrobats, a family-friendly feast for the senses, filled with fast-paced fun. February 2nd at 7:30 at the Cascade Theater. Tickets at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot to get to today. Breaking news in the government shutdown, gridlock. Also, we are going to get to the mailbag a little bit later in the show. We begin today with the news that Roger Stone has been arrested. He's mostly known for being a political operative, very friendly to President Trump. He has now been indicted. It went down like this. Apparently, CNN was on scene for his arrest. And people were wondering why exactly CNN was there. So there was a lot of speculation. There was a leak from Team Mueller to CNN that they should be there with cameras when Roger Stone was arrested. In reality, that's not what happened. CNN reporters apparently were at the D.C. courthouse. They saw some extra filings with the grand jury, and they decided to stake out Roger Stone's house, figuring that he was next on the indictment list, especially since Roger Stone himself had said he was next on the indictment list. So that's how we have this fascinating tip of an entire SWAT team going to Roger Stone's house. Now, normally I'm not too critical of law enforcement because, you know, they do what they have to do. But I do wonder why it took an entire SWAT team to take down a 1,000-year-old man with a back tattoo of Nixon. I'm just wondering, like, was that super necessary? Did they think that he was going to be holed up snorting lines of cocaine and then he was going to pull out a giant minigun and shout at them, "Say hello to my little friend"? Like, what did they think was going to happen here? Anyway, here is what it sounded and looked like when the FBI arrested Roger Stone this morning.
Breaking news this morning, the FBI has arrested Roger Stone, the president's political advisor. Exclusive footage you're looking at right now from CNN as the FBI arrives at Roger Stone's residence in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Okay, that's it. FBI, open the door. And now they're about to say another warning. FBI warrant.
You can see Roger Stone a little bit behind that door. And yes, you know, standard operating procedure for the FBI to show up heavily armed
in riot gear
like this.
Okay, standard operating procedure, maybe. Or they could have just called Roger Stone's lawyer and said, "We are coming to arrest you." But probably they thought that he was going to destroy documents if he knew when he was going to be arrested. The reason I say that is because they also raided his Manhattan apartment on 117th Street. So what is the indictment all about? People immediately are saying that this is all about Russian collusion. Okay, let's make clear. There has still not been a single arrest for criminal activity related to Russia. The actual charges here, the actual charges are lying to the FBI, as have been the charges for everyone. So, the very short story of the Mueller investigation so far, you can read it one of two ways, the very short story of the Mueller investigation. One way is people in the FBI did not like President Trump. That would have been people like Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. And they decided that they were going to initiate an investigation into Trump when he was a candidate. And now they are racking up a bunch of charges because they got a bunch of schlubs to lie to them. And that's the entire story of the campaign. It was initiated in bad faith, and these arrests are merely a consequence of when you ask political people embarrassing questions, they tend to lie to the FBI. That's read number one. Read number two is that the investigation was initiated in good faith, that the FBI saw a lot of Trump associates who were talking with the Russians. They saw a lot of movement between the two sides, and they figured something was going on, so they launched a counterintelligence investigation that has now become a criminal investigation because of all of the people who lied to them. So we sort of have to determine whether this was a good faith effort by the FBI or a bad faith effort by the FBI. What has not been established at this point is that President Trump was involved in criminal activity with Russia. Now, again, that's a different thing than did President Trump and his campaign collude with Russia. So collusion was never a legal term. There is no crime of collusion. Right? My producers and I collude on this show every morning. That does not mean that we have committed a criminal act, although some might want to arrest us for it. The fact that Trump and that Team Trump was working with people who were go-betweens for WikiLeaks is not quite criminal activity. Eugene Volokh had a long column about this in the Washington Post a couple of years ago, in which he discussed whether it was, in fact, a criminal activity to work with foreign sources to reveal opposition research on your political opponent. Obviously, it's not. I mean, Hillary Clinton took opposition research on Donald Trump from the Ukrainian government, apparently, during the campaign. Politico reported that. That was not criminal activity. It is not criminal activity to work with people from foreign countries to reveal information about your opponent. Now, could it still be collusion in sort of the colloquial sense? Is it bad that the Trump campaign was working with WikiLeaks, which is an evil Russian cutout organization, in order to target Hillary Clinton? Yeah, that's bad. That's not a good thing. From any moral point of view, you do not want to be colluding with WikiLeaks, one of the worst organizations on the planet, even if it means taking down somebody like Hillary Clinton. Now, listen, that battle was litigated and fought during the 2016 campaign. And so I'm relitigating something that's already been closed. In the middle of that campaign, Donald Trump was saying, I love WikiLeaks. So this is not a new issue. It's not as though he was hiding this at all. The real question becomes twofold. One, did Trump order this sort of collusion between the campaign and the Russians? And two, is that a crime? Because if it's not a crime, it's not impeachable. It could be politically damaging, however, and we'll get to that in just a second. First, let's talk about exactly what Roger Stone was arrested for. So the indictment charges that in or around May 2016, the Democratic National Committee and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee became aware that their computer systems had been compromised. On or about June 14th, 2016, the DNC publicly announced that it had been hacked by Russian government actors. From in or around July 2016 through in or around November 2016, an organization, WikiLeaks, which had previously posted documents stolen from other U.S. persons, entities, and the U.S. government, released tens of thousands of documents stolen from the DNC and the personal email accounts of the chairman of Hillary's campaign, that had been John Podesta. On or about July 22, 2016, WikiLeaks released documents stolen from the DNC. Between on or about October 7, 2016, and November 7, 2016, WikiLeaks released approximately 33 tranches of documents that had been stolen from the personal email accounts of the Clinton campaign chairman, totaling over 50,000 stolen documents. So this is all stuff that we know, right? They're just recapping the story for you. Then here along comes Roger Stone. So what exactly did Roger Stone do? According to the indictment, during the summer of 2016, Stone spoke to senior Trump campaign officials about Organization One, that's WikiLeaks, and information it might have had that would be damaging to the Clinton campaign. Stone was contacted by senior Trump campaign officials to inquire about future releases by WikiLeaks. So now it looks like Stone was sort of the go-between between WikiLeaks and the Trump campaign. Again, that's not criminal activity, but it does look like what we would call colloquial collusion, that they were seeking and getting early warning from WikiLeaks about the emails that were about to be released. By in or around August 2016, Stone was claiming both publicly and privately to have communicated with WikiLeaks, right, because Stone is, as it turns out, he's more from Veep than he is from House of Cards. By in or around mid-August 2016, WikiLeaks made a public statement denying direct communication with Stone because they're a Russian front group who lies a lot. Thereafter, Stone said that his communication with WikiLeaks had occurred through a person Stone described as a mutual friend, go-between, and intermediary. This later ends up being presumably radio host Randy Credico. Stone also continued to communicate with members of the Trump campaign about WikiLeaks and its intended future releases. After the 2016 presidential campaign, the U.S. House of Representatives Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, the FBI, and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence announced investigations into the interference, and then Stone took steps to obstruct these investigations, according to the indictment. They say that he made multiple false statements to the House committee about his interactions regarding WikiLeaks and denied possessing records containing evidence of those interactions. They say that's false. And they say that he attempted to persuade a witness to lie and withhold pertinent information from the investigations. So here are the other relevant individuals. One is person one, a political commentator who worked with an online media publication during the 2016 U.S. presidential campaign. Person one spoke regularly with Stone throughout the campaign, including about the release of stolen documents by Organization One. Speculation is hot that this person is Steve Bannon, who ended up becoming the Trump campaign chairman. Person number two was a radio host who had known Stone for more than a decade. This presumably is Randy Credico. So here is what Stone was doing, because they have all the documents now. Apparently, Stone sent an email to person one, presumably Bannon, this is what the media are reporting, with the subject line, "Get to WikiLeaks." The body of the message read, "Get to Julian Assange at Ecuadorian Embassy in London and get the pending WikiLeaks email. They deal with the foundation, allegedly." This is July 2016. On or about the same day, person one forwarded Stone's email to an associate who lived in the UK and was a supporter of the Trump campaign. On or about July 31st, 2016, Stone emailed person one with the subject line, "Call me Monday." The body of the email read in part that persons one associated in the UK should see Julian Assange. On or about August 2nd, 2016, person one, again, presumably Bannon, emailed Stone. Person one wrote that he was currently in Europe and plans to return in or around mid-August. Person one stated, in part, "Word is friends in embassy plans two more dumps, one shortly after I'm back, second in August, impact plan to be very damaging." The phrase "friends in embassy" referred to the head of Organization One. That would be Julian Assange. Person one added in the same email, "Time to let more than the Clinton campaign chairman to be exposed as in bed with the enemy if they are not ready to drop Hillary Rodham Clinton. That appears to be the game hackers are now about. Would not hurt to start suggesting HRC old, memory bad, has stroke, neither he nor she well. I expect that much of the next dump focus setting stage for the foundation debacle." So all of this early information coming via all of this. I'm sorry, person one is not Bannon. I should retract that. It's not Bannon. This is another character. We'll get to Bannon in just a second. So still, we don't know who person one is. Person one is the go-between between WikiLeaks and Roger Stone. In a second, I'm going to explain the rest of the indictment here. But first, let's talk about the smart way of making your business better. You know what's smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/BenRadio to hire the right person. You know what's not smart? Job boards that send you candidates that aren't qualified for the role you posted. Job boards that send you a mile-high stack of resumes. Job boards that make you wait for the right people to apply to your job. Do it the smart way. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/BenRadio. Why? Well, unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience, and then actively invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the United States. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/BenRadio. If you love the show, show your support for the show and ZipRecruiter, head over to ZipRecruiter.com/BenRadio, B-E-N-R-A-D-I-O, at ZipRecruiter.com/BenRadio. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Again, to reiterate the correction, person one is not Steve Bannon. We'll get to Steve Bannon in a second. So Roger Stone was coordinating with this person one who was apparently passing information from WikiLeaks. Starting in early August 2016, after receiving the August 2nd, 2016 email from person one, Stone made repeated statements about information he claimed learned from the head of WikiLeaks. So he spoke publicly about this over and over and over again, because if you are colluding with an enemy of the United States, presumably what you want to do is speak as publicly about it as possible over and over and over to show you're cool. That's exactly what Roger Stone did. I'm telling you, the best paper. Beginning on or about August 19th, 2016, Stone exchanged written communications, including by text message and email, with person two about Organization One. So person two is Randy Credico, apparently, and WikiLeaks, and what the head of WikiLeaks planned to do. There's a lot of coordination over all of this. And then the indictment suggests that Stone started coordinating with members of the Trump campaign. And this is where we get into the really dicey part for campaign Trump. Because if Stone were just dealing with WikiLeaks and then revealing it publicly online, not only is he a private citizen, but he's not even associated with the campaign. So there really is nothing with regard to the Trump campaign to worry about. But then things get a little bit dicey. Well, we'll get to that in just a second. But first, we need to talk about what happens with your car as it gets older. It's going to break down. And we all know that that's going to happen, right? It happens to every car, truck, SUV. If you're lucky, it's going to happen while you're still under manufacturer's warranty. But if it happens after the warranty expires, well, then you got a problem. You could be out of pocket thousands of bucks to get it fixed. That's why I have extended vehicle protection from CarShield. CarShield makes the process of fixing your car for a covered repair incredibly easy. You can have your favorite mechanic or dealership do the work. It is indeed your choice. They also provide 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is being fixed for free. If your car has 5,000 to 150,000 miles, it doesn't mean you have to pay high repair bills. CarShield administrators have paid out over $1 billion in claims. They are ready to help you right now. Save yourself thousands in future car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle protection, same way that I did. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention promo code Shapiro, or visit carshield.com. Use promo code Shapiro to save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Shapiro, or call 800-CAR-6100, mention promo code Shapiro. A deductible may apply. Coming up, we're going to continue with the Roger Stone indictment. We're going through it, explaining to you what the issues are, what the political fallout is likely to be. In the end, is there evidence of legal violations between Trump and Russia? No, there isn't, but it's still a problem for Trump. I'll explain. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep. And you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9970. Our new start program could stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970. That's 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-312-9970.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
This is the Savage Nation.
The ideas that I've been writing about for years, whether or not he believed them or not, is irrelevant. Like all politicians, he ran with the best ideas. In fact, I was told this by the man who helped create his campaign. Okay, leave it at that. He said, Dr. Savage, we all love you. You are the architect of his campaign and his victory, and we all know it. We thank you for it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy, it's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So early this morning, Roger Stone, Trump campaign associate, was arrested by the FBI, and we're going through his indictments. So Stone started making statements to members of the Trump campaign and supporters of the Trump campaign on or about October 3rd, 2016. Stone wrote to a supporter involved with the Trump campaign, spoke to my friend in London last night. The payload is still coming. Also on or about October 3rd, 2016, Stone received an email from a reporter who had connections to a high-ranking Trump campaign official that asked the head of WikiLeaks, what's he got? Hope it's good. Stone reported, responded in part, it is. I'd tell that high-ranking Trump campaign official, but he doesn't call me back. That high-ranking Trump campaign official, that is apparently Steve Bannon. On or about October 4th, 2016, the head of the organization WikiLeaks held a press conference but didn't release any materials pertaining to the Clinton campaign. Shortly afterward, Stone received an email from the high-ranking Trump campaign official asking about the status of future releases by WikiLeaks. Stone answered that the head of WikiLeaks had a serious security concern, but that the organization WikiLeaks would release a load going forward every week. So that, presumably, is Steve Bannon. So because there had already been public information about that email with the phrase, a load every week going forward. So apparently, Bannon and Stone were in communication. Bannon at that time was the chairman of the Trump campaign. Later that day, on about October 4th, 2016, the supporter involved with the Trump campaign asked Stone via text message if he had heard any more from London, and Stone said yes, want to get on a secure line, got WhatsApp. Stone subsequently told the reporter that the supporter, that more material would be released and that it would be damaging to the Clinton campaign. Okay, so again, none of this is the criminal activity. What he's being indicted for is lying about all of this. So he went in front of the House Intelligence Committee, and he said that he had no documents that dealt with any of these questions. When he testified before the House Intelligence Committee in his opening statement, he said the hearings are largely based on a yet unproven allegation that the Russian state is responsible for the hacking of the DNC. And he said that members of the committee had made certain assertions which had to be rebutted, including the charge that I knew in advance about and predicted the hacking of the Clinton campaign chairman's email, and that I had advanced knowledge of the source or actual content of the WikiLeaks disclosures regarding Hillary Clinton. Okay, now, how does this relate to Trump? Well, we've already mentioned that there is a problem here with regard to Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon was associated with the Trump campaign. He was the campaign chairman. He served in the White House as the chief advisor to the president. Okay, all of that is a problem for Trump. But there is one particular phrase that is a bigger problem for Trump. Okay, this is from the report. After the July 22, 2016 release of stolen DNC emails by WikiLeaks, a senior Trump campaign official was directed to contact Stone about any additional releases and what other damaging information WikiLeaks had regarding the Clinton campaign. Stone thereafter told the Trump campaign about future releases of damaging material by WikiLeaks. Notice the language there. A senior Trump campaign official was directed to contact Stone. So in other words, somebody very high up in the campaign was told by someone presumably higher up in the campaign, wink, wink, nod, nod, maybe Trump, to contact Roger Stone. Now, this is not a criminal problem for the president. Saying to his people, go get Roger Stone on the phone right now, that is not a criminal activity. Even saying, go get Roger Stone on the phone right now, he may have information about information that's going to drop, that's not illegal either. But it is a political problem for the president. And it's going to continue to undermine his claims that there is no collusion between his campaign and Russia. Because now we have two actual separate questions. One is there impeachable criminal activity here? And two is, did the Trump campaign collude with WikiLeaks? If, in fact, the Trump campaign knew that they were getting extra information from WikiLeaks, a Russian government front group, and it was being funneled via Roger Stone to the Trump campaign, that is collusion, even if it's not criminal activity. And that's not good for Trump. Now, how does all this play out? Well, here's how it plays out politically. Democrats suggest that they were right all along, that Hillary Clinton never would have lost except for Donald Trump colluding with the Russians. Again, the evidence of that is scanty. WikiLeaks was going to release this stuff anyway. They didn't need advice from Roger Stone on when to release it. And it turns out that there's no actual information in this indictment suggesting that WikiLeaks was taking advice from the Trump campaign. Rather, it seems WikiLeaks was giving advance notice to the Trump campaign, which suggests that they would have been dumping this material anyway. So take number one from the left is going to be Hillary Clinton lost because of WikiLeaks, Trump colluded. The Trump colluded part may still be true. We don't know yet. We just don't know. The she lost because of it is pretty dicey. But if you think that's not going to be a turnout boost for whomever runs against Trump in 2020, think again. Okay, the Democrats are firmly convinced that the 2016 election was stolen from them, even though that is not true. They are firmly convinced that it was illegitimate, even though that is not true. They are firmly convinced that if they all show up, they're going to win in 2020, which may very well be true. Okay, so the narrative on the right, countervailingly, is going to be that there's no criminal activity here, that this was all a witch hunt, that it was originally started for no reason other than animus about President Trump, that you get a bunch of people in a room with the FBI and Congress, and you ask them a bunch of embarrassing questions in politics, and they are probably going to lie to you. And that if Mueller had launched an investigation, or if the FBI had launched an investigation into Hillary, and then actually interviewed Hillary without her lawyer present, like Cheryl Mills, and then asked Hillary a bunch of embarrassing questions, she would have lied about things. If they had launched an investigation into Fusion GPS and the Steele dossier, and Hillary Clinton attempting to gain information via a foreign actor, Christopher Steele, about Donald Trump, and then funnel that to law enforcement via Fusion GPS, if she'd been asked about that, maybe she would have lied. Maybe members of Fusion GPS would have lied. Maybe members of the Hillary campaign would have lied. We don't know, because that investigation never took place. So the case on the part of the right is going to be, in an investigation in which you ask people embarrassing questions, they tend to lie. If all you've got is that they lied to you without any evidence of underlying crime, then this really is a witch hunt. Now, here's the thing. Both cases are kind of true. Right? It is kind of true on the part of people on the right that if a similar investigation had been launched in depth against Hillary Clinton, a bunch of people would have gone to jail. And it is similarly true, according to people on the right, that there is no underlying crime as of yet. So all these things can be true, and it's all going to play out politically. I don't think this results in impeachment. Coming up, we'll bring you the latest on the government shutdown. Republicans tried to fund certain areas of the government yesterday. That was rejected by Democrats, who are now very eager for the government shutdown to continue, especially as flights have...
Laura Ingraham, Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Tom Gresham are only on KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460.
The feel of shopping in a hometown store. What is it that makes it special? A lot of things. It's familiar faces. It's folks remembering your name. It's employees that are not just hired to work in a department. Some have been with Orchard Nutrition over 20 years, and they're willing to share their knowledge with you. These are all things you've always found at Orchard Nutrition Center. And since 1982, Orchard's motto, supporting local, we're all in it together, says it all. When you step into Orchard Nutrition at 221 Locust Street in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, you'll find a wide variety of organic groceries, fresh organic produce, straight from the farm to Orchard Nutrition Center to your table. Their delicious bakery and deli, and a wide selection of vitamins and supplements, with certified nutritionists to answer all your questions. So whether you're looking for nitrate-free deli meats, certified local organic produce, a wide variety of health foods, supplements, herbs, teas, and so much more, you'll find it at Orchard Nutrition Center. Supporting local, we're all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center.
Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the diabetes prevention program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
The holidays. Whether you're eating solo or treating your family, Pasta Pronto is here for you. It's a fabulous approach to traditional Italian food. Pasta Pronto is committed to provide fresh, satisfying meals and fast, friendly service in an upbeat setting. Pasta Pronto is family owned. Martin and his staff will treat each guest as a valued friend, with comfort and satisfaction their highest priority. Pasta Pronto, 920 Hilltop, next to Ready Sports.
Coming to the Cascade Theater in Reading January 30th, Black Violin. This chart-topping group mashes up classical, hip-hop, and rock. They've collaborated with some of music's biggest names like Tom Petty, 50 Cent, and Aerosmith. Now they're mixing it up with Reading students to break musical barriers on the Cascade stage January 30th. Don't miss this groundbreaking night of music. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
I'm excited to announce my new radio show that will begin in January right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM. My name is Dr. Patricia Bay, and I'm a marriage family therapist with 30-plus years experience in this field. My show, Therapy in a Nutshell, will feature topics that will help you navigate your life challenges. I will be talking about subjects such as grief and loss, family drama, dealing with adult children with addictions, relationship issues such as affair recovery, betrayal, learning to trust again, and communication basics. My first show will air on Saturday, January 5th at 11 a.m., and we will be talking about simplifying your life. We want to streamline your life, cut out excess anything, excess in our heads, our homes, and in our relationships. Listen in and call with questions or comments. Let's heal the world 1 hour at a time. Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, beginning January 5th at 11 a.m.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home.
The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else.
When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the FAA is moving to shut down some flights in and out of LaGuardia Airport thanks to the government shutdown. According to Bloomberg, a speedy conventional wisdom is taking hold that the LaGuardia Airport closing in New York will precipitate the end of the stalemate in Washington. Indeed, security delays for air travelers are the shutdown's only real-life effect on many Americans, because earlier today, the FAA announced that they were going to shut down all air traffic in and out of LaGuardia Airport, which is a major airport, obviously. One question is how this may affect the Transportation Security Administration's reputation and bargaining position on budget, potential personnel cuts, and the like. We're starting to see a revival of the term security theater, the idea that the TSA, which in a 2015 internal investigation failed to detect 95% of mock explosives and weapons, merely gives travelers a feeling of security without actually providing it. That, of course, is largely true. I think the TSA is a dumb organization overall. That doesn't mean TSA agents are bad or that they're bad at their jobs. It just means that you didn't need the TSA in the first place. If we privatized security at the airports and Delta were responsible for security on Delta flights, you'd be better off. At least there would be legal liability lying with those companies. The TSA says more employees are reporting financial limitations, and that is preventing them from coming into work. The Atlanta airport is experiencing the longest average wait time of 42 minutes. The national average is about 30 minutes right now. And the FAA says in a statement, there's been a slight increase in sick leave at two air traffic control facilities affecting New York as well as Florida. The FAA is adjusting operations to a safe rate to match available controller resources. So, as I say, LaGuardia, the newest information is that LaGuardia flights have all been halted as the shutdown hits air traffic staffing, and there are major delays in Philadelphia as well as Newark. So delays are going to start hitting the country. It's all located in the east, basically. So there was an attempt yesterday by some Republicans to fund certain areas of the government, or at least get people their paychecks. Right? This isn't even about funding of the government. The government has not run out of money. It's just that the payroll operating services are not operating. So Republicans basically said, okay, well, you know, the government shutdown can continue in that we will not fund the government. There will not be a new continuing resolution to fund the government, but people should still get their paychecks in particular areas of the armed services, particularly. Yesterday, Senator Ted Cruz got up and he said, listen, let's just fund the Coast Guard. I mean, for goodness sake, let's get those guys their checks.
Every Republican agrees, pay the Coast Guard right now. Senator Kennedy's bill did one thing and one thing only. It paid the salaries of the men and women of the Coast Guard. It didn't touch any other issue. Every Republican agrees with that bill. And the Democrats objected and said, we will not pay the Coast Guard. The Republicans are willing to compromise, have offered to compromise, and in fact, just now sought to pay the Coast Guard, and the Democratic position is no, 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 we object.
Okay, and that, of course, is true. Democrats are not interested in reopening the government at this point. They think that they actually have stumbled upon a baton that Trump handed to them. And there's pretty good evidence of that by polling data. It is also true that as the shutdown gets uglier, people are going to get angrier and angrier over it, and they're going to ask, why doesn't one side or the other just cave? Now, again, if President Trump had spent the last month going around and saying, listen, all I want is this little pittance, Democrats won't give it to me, let's just make sure that we're secure. If he had spent the last month really doing an all-out PR push, I think maybe the math is a little bit different. Maybe it isn't. But things are certainly getting ugly quickly. So, you know, we will see how all this happens. People are getting optimistic that the shutdown is going to end, which is why stocks are going up. Stocks this morning have been up because people think that the shutdown is going to end in the very near future. There are a couple of different proposals on the table for ending the shutdown. President Trump suggested yesterday that he might declare a national emergency and then just fund the wall himself. Again, two questions would be, one, if this is true, why didn't he just do it earlier? Right? Did we have to go through 5 weeks of this? And number two, is this really going to hold? Are the courts really going to uphold his ability to declare a national emergency and then redirect funds to build the wall? Dicey. Here's what Trump had to say about it yesterday.
I have other alternatives if I have to, and I'll use those alternatives if I have to. We want to go through the system. We have to have a wall in this country.
All right, so there's the president suggesting that he is going to do something else in order to end the shutdown. I think that's probably how this ends up going. I think a court probably ends up striking it down. I think the wall doesn't get built that way, but we will find out. One of the big problems here is that Republicans suck at PR. As I've said before, if the Republicans had made a full court press, not Republican commentators, the Republicans themselves, if Trump had made a full court press, If senators had been out there every day on the campaign trail beating the drums for why aren't Democrats just giving us this money? This is not that hard. If that had happened, it would have been very helpful. Instead, you've got idiots like Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, appearing on national television and saying that everybody is basically, well, what's the matter? Are people really going hungry? Oh, Wilbur Ross. Oh, Wilbur Ross. Apparently, Wilbur Ross is so disliked inside the White House, he shuffles around, I kid you not, wearing slippers in the White House with the Commerce Department seal, like actual slippers, and he speaks incoherently in meetings, was the rumor. Here's Wilbur Ross speaking incoherently on national television.
Mr. Secretary, there are reports that there are some federal workers who are going to homeless shelters to get food.
Well, I know they are, and I don't really quite understand why. The obligations that they would undertake, say a borrowing from a bank or a credit union, are in effect federally guaranteed. So the 30 days of pay that some people will be out, there's no real reason why they shouldn't be able to get a loan against it.
Okay, so, all right, Wilbur Ross, thank you so much for your economic insight. And then Larry Kudlow made a boo-boo. He then went on, he was on C-SPAN, and he suggested that the reason that volunteers, that people are showing up to work is not because they want their back pay, it's because they are personally loyal to Trump, which is doubtful at best.
With respect to people who do have financial hardships, as someone was asking, they are coming to work and giving them the same 24/7 work they always did. They honor us. And they do it because of their love for the country and the office of the presidency and presumably their allegiance to President Trump, but whatever, they're doing it. Give them some credit. You know, there's a lot of wonderful people in this country.
Okay, they're not doing it out of allegiance to President Trump. They're doing it because if they leave their job, they won't get paid when the back pay comes in. I mean, that's the reason why you go to work. So, all sorts of fun happening over with the Trump administration. This thing is going to come to a pretty speedy end at this point. People are annoyed. There's no upside. The only question is what Trump gets in return, if anything, at this point. Okay, in a second, I want to discuss the media and religion, because the media have continued their attack on religion this week, not just Covington High, but an incredible tweet from a reporter over at the New York Times. We'll get to that in just one second. But first, let's talk about your goals this 2019, this new year. Before you make a generic resolution, make a genetic resolution. 23andMe. Why? Well, because your genes can tell you more than your ancestry. They can say a lot about your health as well. With 23andMe's Health and Ancestry Kit, you can learn about your health, traits, ancestry, and more. I mean, you can even learn if you are more Native American than Elizabeth Warren. We're talking about more than 125 personalized insights. You can discover the connections between your DNA and your weight, how much you might move in your sleep, your caffeine consumption, your likelihood of being lactose intolerant, muscle composition, alcohol flush reaction, and so much more. It really is a lot of fun. I took the 23andMe test, told me that I had the muscle composition of a bodybuilder. Also, I am 100% Ashkenazi Jew, which you may have guessed already. When it comes to your day-to-day living, your wellness reports can help you make informed decisions about healthy living. Buy your DNA kit at 23andme.com/Ben. That's the number 23andme.com/Ben. Again, that's 23andme.com/Ben. Makes a terrific gift. That's 23andme.com/Ben. 23andme.com/Ben. Alrighty, so I do want to comment on the continuing media attacks on religious people. There was an astonishing tweet yesterday for a guy named Dan Levin. Dan Levin says he covers young America and the issues they care about for the New York Times. Here is what he tweeted yesterday. Quote, I'm a New York Times reporter writing about hashtag expose Christian schools. Are you in your 20s or younger who went to a Christian school? I'd like to hear about your experience and its impact on your life. Please DM me. So basically, this was him trolling for a bunch of people who didn't like the religious school they went to so they can whine, so he can write a piece about how bad Christian schools are. All of this is on the heels of Karen Pence going back to teach at a Christian school last week and Covington Catholic boys going to the March for Life this week. Right? All of this is designed to take down Christian schools. This is the next agenda of the mainstream media. It's funny. If you wait for about 5 minutes, the media usually make their agenda pretty clear. When it came to Karen Pence and Covington Catholic, the agenda was not Karen Pence or the boys of Covington Catholic. The agenda was that religious schools are inherently deeply terrible, that they are repressive, they are oppressive, they are mean to people. And you saw the media's narrative shift over the course of the Covington Catholic story, specifically in this direction. It went from, here are these evil, racist boys, look how racist and evil they are, to, well, maybe they're not racist and evil, per se, but maybe other kids at those schools are racist and evil. And then when they couldn't find evidence of that, it became, well, maybe other schools in the diocese are homophobic. And then when that fell apart, it turned into, well, maybe religious schools in general are just bad. Maybe religious schools in general are the problem. This rage against religion is going to grow. The secular left feels that they have religious people on the retreat, and they specifically feel that because the Trump administration has been very good on religious issues, and because Trump himself is unpopular, they're going to have running room if Trump were to lose in 2020. This is really what they're setting up for. Prepare yourself. If Trump loses in 2020, if Democrats take back the Senate, there will be a push against religious people in this country worse than anything we have seen in the last several decades. That's where all of this is going. And the media are leading the charge in all of this, because a lot of members of the media are people who probably went to parochial school, and now they're on the left, and they don't like that they went to parochial school. They don't like the parochial schools. And so they are going to attack religion with alacrity. This is an astonishing tweet. Hashtag expose Christian schools. I mean, just for a little history lesson. Christian schools are responsible for the vast majority of education in the history of the West. The vast majority of great universities were founded as Christian schools. Education itself, in the Western sense, was a creation of the Catholic Church. The notion that Christian schools are an inherent bad and that they must be done away with in favor of what, our garbage public school system? That that's the solution? It's pretty incredible. But what's going to happen next is a hardcore push from the left to get rid of Christian schools altogether. Because centralization of government control is always the agenda. Now, speaking of centralization of government control under secular leftists, it is amazing to watch as Democrats come out of the woodwork to defend Nicolas Maduro. So Ilhan Omar, one of the fresh faces of the Democratic Party, so fresh, so face, Ilhan Omar. So Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, who is an anti-Semite and a terrible person, Ilhan Omar tweeted out, and I say when I say she's a terrible person, I mean that in 2016, she recommended early release for people who were linked to ISIS. Like, Ilhan Omar, not a great person. Ilhan Omar tweeted out with regard to the coup attempt in Venezuela, or the attempt to depose Nicolas Maduro, the dictator of Venezuela. She tweeted out, quote, "A U.S.-backed coup in Venezuela is not a solution to the dire issues they face." First of all, let me correct myself. It is not, in fact, a coup. It is a democratic opposition opposing a dictator. She says, "Trump's efforts to install a far-right opposition will only incite violence and further destabilize the region." Okay, a couple of things. One, Trump isn't the only one who has recognized Juan Guaido, who is the opposition president here. He's been recognized by virtually every Western country as well as nearly every country in South America. Also, he's not far right. He is, wait for it, a social democrat. But Ilhan Omar is an idiot as well as a moral fool. She says, we must support Mexico, Uruguay, and the Vatican's effort to facilitate a peaceful dialogue. So she takes the short way to the same solution as Maduro. Bernie Sanders takes the long way. And what's amazing to me is how many people were taken in by this. Like, a lot of people were taken in by Bernie Sanders' statement. Oh, look at Bernie Sanders. He said the right thing. But Bernie Sanders comes to exactly the same conclusion as Ilhan Omar, which is not a shock, since Bernie Sanders supported the Sandinistas, right, the communist Sandinistas in Nicaragua, who completely impoverished and destroyed their country. And so here was Bernie Sanders' statement. "The Maduro government has waged a violent crackdown on Venezuelan civil society, violated the Constitution by dissolving the National Assembly, and was re-elected last year in an election many observers said was fraudulent. The economy is a disaster, and millions are migrating." So far, everything he says is true. I'll also note, somebody should ask Bernie Sanders, why is the economy a disaster, Bernie? What happened in Venezuela to make the economy a disaster? Did they try, a system of centralized government control and nationalization of industry and redistribution of wealth, maybe? Could that have something to do with it? Then Bernie Sanders continues, "The United States should support the rule of law, fair elections, and self-determination for the Venezuelan people. We must condemn the use of violence against unarmed protesters and the suppression of dissent." Again, all of this is good. All of this is right. But then he gets to the kicker. "But we must learn the lessons of the past and not be in the business of regime change or supporting coups, as we have in Chile, Guatemala, Brazil, and the DR. The U.S. has a long history of inappropriately intervening in Latin American nations. We must not go down that road again." He supported the Sandinistas. He literally supported the Sandinistas. And now he's supporting Nicolas Maduro. When you say that we can't get involved, really, what you're saying is leave Maduro in place because the military in Venezuela is backing Maduro. Things are going to get very ugly very quickly. We should be providing whatever covert support is necessary to see Maduro ousted. That doesn't mean put American troops on the ground. It means do exactly the same thing we've been doing with folks in Ukraine. If we have to give deadly weaponry to people who are opposing Maduro, do it. Give them what they need to fight Maduro. Okay, coming up, we're going to jump into the mailbag, answer some of your questions. We'll be back in a minute. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you have hard water, the lime scale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate lime scale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
This is the Savage Nation.
The ideas that I've been writing about for years, whether or not he believed them or not, is irrelevant. Like all politicians, he ran with the best ideas. In fact, I was told this by the man who helped create his campaign. Okay, leave it at that. He said, Dr. Savage, we all love you. You are the architect of his campaign and his victory, and we all know it. We thank you for it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So every week at this time, we do the mailbag. We take a look at some of your questions and answer them to the best of our ability. So let's jump right in. Daniel says, hey, Ben, it seems to me that conservatives are not only willing to engage in dialogue, but also seek out dialogue with the mission of winning people over. Differently, the left seems to shut down dialogue and not seek to change people's mind in the same way. Why do you think this is the case? Is there something fundamental about the nature of the political spectrum that makes it so? Well, I think right now there are a lot of folks on the left who believe that free speech is a hierarchical construct. They believe that free speech itself only benefits people who have historically been powerful, and thus we need to suppress voices in order so that other voices may flourish and bloom. This is what Herbert Marcuse called repressive tolerance. He suggested that what we actually need is to repress certain voices so tolerance can spring forth in all of its glory. This is what you hear on college campuses. When people say white privilege, what they mean is shut up, whitey, let everybody else talk. And this is the case that they are making. Now, they're not wrong that in historical terms, white people have had more ability to talk than non-white people. They are wrong that because history was bad, we should make the present bad as well by shutting people up. Randall says, hi, Ben, I keep hearing from leftists that while AOC's Medicare for All plan is expensive, $32 trillion plus over 10 years, it would actually be cheaper than the current projected health care expenses over that same period. Is this even possible without severely degrading the current level of health services? Thanks. So the answer is no. It means destroying the entire healthcare industry. Number two, it'll be a lot more expensive than $32 trillion over 10 plus years. Trying to simply trade in private spending for public spending is not equivalent. Private spending is voluntary spending. What you choose to spend on your medical care versus what the government is going to spend on your medical care is not the same number. When they say it will cost $32 trillion over 10 years, they mean in public expenditures. You are still going to be buying supplemental health insurance. So it's just a lie. It's not true. I believe that the estimate, if you include private spending, would be something like $47 trillion over 10 years. Randy says, may I get a list of the top two or three sites you use for your facts and stats on the four to five issues of importance? Thank you. Well, you know, I do like to check stats from all sides. The Bureau of Government Statistics is pretty good. The Commerce Department has statistics. The FBI has statistics. Government stats are generally not argued with as much as other people's stats, but you know, I will check a variety of different outlets. So I'll check Center for American Progress statistics and Heritage Foundation statistics. I will check statistics from the American Enterprise Institute, and I will check statistics from the Brookings Institute. So try to get a wide variety if you can. Connor says, what is the Jewish read on the third commandment about not taking God's name in vain? So in halacha, in Jewish law, you're not supposed to use God's name when you're not making a bracha, when you're not making a blessing, because the idea is that you are degrading his name. But on a conceptual level, I like Dennis Prager's take on this. Dennis Prager's take on this is that if you say that God is in favor of something that God has not himself said he is in favor of, then you are taking his name in vain. You're perverting what he wants and making it your own, and that's a real act of deep evil. Let's see. Renata says, hey, Lord Ben. Interesting. I'm writing to you because in one of my classes, one of my fellow students brought up how the Nordic countries have all these social welfare programs and how much better they are. So I felt the need to speak up and brought up the issue that people making over 60K are taxed about 50% depending on which country you are in. Their response was, who cares? You don't need that much anyway when the government is taking care of X. On top of that, the professor then stepped in and said, obviously they are doing something right there since they are consistently ranked as some of the happiest countries in the world. So my question to you is, how would you have responded to that situation? Not going to lie, I folded a little under pressure since it seemed like it was me versus the whole class. Well, it's very hard when everyone's attacking you, but here's the reality. In order for them to determine whether it is in fact socialism that has made these countries happy, you would have to look at their happiness ratings and their social standing before these countries had piled a bunch of socialist welfare programs on top of a capitalist base. So look back to the 40s and 50s and 60s. And it turns out these countries were already some of the happiest on earth. It turns out that the Nordic countries already had great health care, that the Nordic countries already had a good economy, that they had all of these things before you started tacking on top third way Nordic socialism. And there's a great book called I'm going to forget the name of the book. I've recommended it on the program before. Debunking Utopia is the name of the book. And it was written by a guy who is from Norway. I'm going to look up the name of it. Nima Sanandaji, that's his name. I've recommended it on the show before. He talks about all of these myths. It's called Exposing the Myth of Nordic Socialism. Well worth the read. He talks specifically about the fact that prior to the advent of all of these social welfare programs, everything was going pretty well in these places before. They already had high levels of social cohesion. Bottom line is this. When you have a society where there are very high levels of social cohesion, virtually any system will work well for a time, but only for a time, meaning that they've only been trying this for a couple of decades. It actually has tamped down economic growth in a large number of these countries. And remember, if the United States were to destroy its own economy on the shoals of redistributionism, there's not going to be a lot of foreign investment into the United States if we change our economic system to make it less friendly to business. There's not going to be a lot of entrepreneurialism. There's not going to be a lot of growth. You know, everybody likes to talk about how healthcare in other countries is so great. Who do you think pays for the development of all the medical devices and drugs? Like a huge number of the patents, the majority of patents on planet Earth are coming from the United States in the healthcare system. We pay a premium for that. But it's also why most of these big healthcare companies are based in the United States. Healthcare without American customers paying high prices for services in the private sector, healthcare would not have developed in the
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump has signed a bill that temporarily opens the federal government for 3 weeks. The White House says the president signed the measure after the Senate and House each passed it Friday. Former presidential adviser Sebastian Gorka says this agreement buys some time to further debate border issues.
Well, I think this is a stay of execution because this provides not a full restart for the government, but a three-week window.
And Gorka says there's one important benefit for the president by signing the continuing resolution.
It permits the president to give his State of the Union address, which of course will be focused on border security and building the wall.
Former Trump campaign advisor Roger Stone will be arraigned in Washington, D.C. next week. He was arrested Friday at his home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Stone has been charged with witness tampering, obstruction, and lying to Congress in the special counsel's Russia investigation. Stone has maintained his innocence and has said he'll plead not guilty. A dam that held back mining waste collapsed Friday in Brazil, inundating a nearby community in reddish-brown sludge and leaving an estimated 200 people missing. BBC correspondent Julia Cornero.
We know that a few people were injured and are in hospital, but very high numbers of people missing. And there's fear that at the Vale mining operation there in Minas Gerais, that this happened during lunchtime and many of the workers were in the cafeteria. And this is a site that apparently has been completely demolished by this collapse of mud. So we're still waiting for more news on what happened there, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be. There's not a very good outlook for now.
Stocks closed higher on Wall Street Friday, recovering a chunk of their losses from earlier in the week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, we're here with Alexander Green, four-time best-selling author and chief investment strategist of the Oxford Club. Alex is a stock-picking legend. He calls six of the best stocks of the past 20 years, including Apple, Intuitive Surgical, Netflix, Verion, Amazon, and Celgene. Now, Alex, I understand you're targeting a new stock.
Yes, it's a cutting-edge tech company making blockbuster deals. I'm talking about $450 million with Nokia, $395 million with Microsoft, and a $29.2 billion deal with Apple. The company is set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America, and Donald Trump himself even calls what they're doing the eighth wonder of the world. Yet you've likely never even heard of it because this $3 stock trades under a secret name.
Alex just got on stage in front of a packed crowd to talk about this secret stock, and you can see his free presentation at onestockretirement.com. Don't wait on this. We expect the stock to make big national news in March. Go to onestockretirement.com now.
Greek lawmakers have ratified an agreement to end a nearly three-decade-long dispute over neighboring Macedonia's name in a landmark vote that will see the small country renamed North Macedonia.
It all comes down to national pride. Greeks are fiercely attached to their history, of course, and they see Macedonia as a quintessentially Hellenic Greek name. And they have objected ever since 1991 when Yugoslavia fell apart and one of its constituent republics declared independence as the Republic of Macedonia. Now, Greece's northern province, which Thessaloniki is the capital, is also called Macedonia. And Greece blocked its northern neighbors, EU and NATO, accession over the name.
That's BBC correspondent Mark Lowen reporting. LGBT activists announcing a ruling by Japan's Supreme Court upholding a law that effectively requires transgender people to be sterilized before they can have their gender changed. News and analysis at townhall.com. The number of confirmed measles cases near Portland, Oregon, up to around 30, and more cases are suspected.
Health officials around Portland say people were exposed to measles at more than three dozen locations, including the Portland Airport, a Portland Trailblazers game, an Amazon locker location, and stores that include Costco and IKEA. Portland is in an area with lower than normal measles vaccination rates. Most of the cases have been children younger than 10. The governor of nearby Washington, Jay Inslee, declared a statewide public health emergency there. There's also warnings in Idaho. Serious measles complications in some cases include pneumonia and brain infections. I'm Ed Donahue.
Facebook allowed children to rack up huge bills on digital games while the company rejected recommendations for addressing what it dubbed friendly fraud, according to newly released court documents. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Hello, good North State folk. Robin Hood here. Would you like to see a play about me, the ultimate hero and all-around good guy? I will wow you in a story that is hilarious and adventurous fun for the whole family. Oh, and the story has other characters in it, too. Towns Guy, tell the good folk where to see me.
Of course, Robin. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the somewhat true tale of Robin Hood, written by Marilyn Dobson, directed by Samantha Fork. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30. Sunday matinees at 2, January 19th through February 16th.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show on a pretty depressing day. The President of the United States has ended the government shutdown. Essentially, unilateral disarmament was his final strategy. The President went to the Rose Garden today and declared that the shutdown was basically done. This was just hours after the FAA had announced flight slowdowns at a bunch of airports, particularly in the Northeast. According to the Wall Street Journal, the President of the United States, his announcement was for a three-week stopgap spending bill. It will provide no immediate funding for a border wall. The government will reopen in total. According to the Associated Press, yielding to mounting pressure and a growing disruption, President Donald Trump and congressional leaders on Friday reached a short-term deal to reopen the government for 3 weeks while negotiations continue over the president's demands for money to build his long-promised wall at the U.S.-Mexico border. Trump announced the agreement to break the 35-day impasse as intensifying delays at the nation's airports and widespread disruptions brought new urgency to efforts to resolve the stand-up. Here's what it sounded like when the president went to the Rose Garden today to announce that there will be no wall. After all, it's his wonder wall.
I am very proud to announce today that we have reached a deal to end the shutdown and reopen the federal government. In a short while, I will sign a bill to open our government for 3 weeks until February 15th. I will make sure that all employees receive their back pay very quickly or as soon as possible.
Okay, he says that he's very proud to announce this. This is not a win. Okay, let's just be straight about this. You're going to hear a lot of spin today about how this is a big win for the President of the United States. And here's how the spin is going to go. The president had to bring the government shutdown to an end. It was just too politically damaging. But he also is going to refight this fight in 3 weeks. Yeah. No, that's not a thing that's going to happen. What's going to happen is that in 3 weeks, he's going to declare a national emergency, which he could have done today, or he could have done any time during this entire shutdown. And then presumably he'll be struck down by a court, and that will be the end of it, and he'll yell at the courts and all the rest. Right? I mean, he basically said that. He said in 3 weeks, there will be three options. One, we shut this thing down again. Two, I go ahead and do a national emergency. Or three, the Democrats come to some sort of agreement. Well, option one and option three are not going to happen. Democrats have already said we're not going to negotiate. So it turns out, by the way, the Democrats were lying, which is a giant shock. Remember, Democrats said if we end the government shutdown, you remember Nancy Pelosi saying this, if the government shutdown were to end, then we would negotiate over the wall. And she would say that routine. Well, now the Democrats immediately came out. Chuck Schumer came out. He said, no, 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 we're not negotiating over the wall. Of course they were never going to negotiate over the wall because they're liars. And then the other possibility of another government shutdown, that's not happening either. Trump shut down the government for 7 weeks in coordination. Democrats, Trump, whoever you want to blame, the government was shut down for 7 weeks here, or 5 weeks. No one is going to do this again, which means declaration of national emergency. Bank on it. Set it on your calendar. February 15th, declaration of national emergency by the president. Now, again, here is my view of the government shutdown from the very beginning. Trump should have been pushing for the wall while the Republicans were actually ran the Congress. Obviously. He did not do it when the Republicans ran the Congress. He did it after the Democrats took over the Congress. If you are going to go all the way to the end, if you're going to go to the mattresses, you have to be willing to go to the mattresses. If you're in a game of poker and you decide to go all in, you can't go half all in. You can't half bluff. You either have to go all the way in or you don't go in at all. And the president seems to have gone sort of halfway, but not all the way, which was, I'm willing to go all the way until things get kind of uncomfortable, at which point I will back down. Ann Coulter is livid about this, by the way. The author of In Trump We Trust came out and said that he is now the wimpiest president in American history. So Ann Coulter deeply unhappy with him. Other commentators are trying to kind of spin it in the best possible light. Well, Trump is still negotiating. It's not over. We'll be back in 3 weeks. He may as well have just declared a national... Here's what he had to say.
They have said they are for complete border security, and they have finally and fully acknowledged that having barriers, fencing, or walls, or whatever you want to call it, will be an important part of the solution. They will put together a homeland security package for me to shortly sign into law. Over the next 21 days, I expect that both Democrats and Republicans will operate in good faith. This is an opportunity for all parties to work together for the benefit of our whole beautiful, wonderful nation.
Okay, well, none of that's going to happen. Okay, no one's going to end up working together. I remember in 2011, there was another government shutdown, and during that government shutdown, Republicans created a program with Democrats that said that we are going to negotiate for a year. We're going to negotiate about how we come to the cuts that we have negotiated. They negotiated a certain amount of cuts, and those cuts included massive cuts to defense. President Obama insisted that half the cuts under sequestration come from the Defense Department. And the Republicans said, I'm sure the Democrats will negotiate in good faith, and we will avert sequestration by coming to some sort of agreement. Naturally, they did no such thing. Sequestration went into effect, and the Defense Department was basically cut down to the bone. Well, you can see the same thing happening here. Trump saying, well, we're going to go to negotiate in good faith now that we have finally gotten past this government shutdown. We can all go back to the negotiating table. Democrats are having no part of it. They're not interested, which is why this will end up in national emergency land, and then we'll see whether it works or not. My premise has been that it won't, that this will be challenged in court, there will be an injunction, there will be no wall. And as somebody who would like to see more border fencing, as somebody who would like to see a border barrier between the United States and Mexico, I don't think that this strategy has been geared toward actually building a border wall unless Trump was willing to go all the way, which, as I say, he was not. Trump continued to sort of make the statement. There are a lot of folks today, you're all seeing a lot of spin, that when President Trump made this statement, it was a magical moment. It was as though he had given a State of the Union address from the Rose Garden. Here is what I have been saying for weeks. Why, he's the president of the United States. Cameras are on him at all times. Why has he not been out making speeches every single day about the importance of funding the border wall? Why? Why was he sitting in the White House tweeting randomly at odd hours? So this is going to be his big public relations push while he ends the government shutdown and while all leverage is destroyed? It makes perfect sense. Here he is talking about how walls work. Yeah, I agree. Well, if walls work, then... I don't understand the negotiation strategy. If the idea here is that ratcheting up the pain on Democrats was going to cause them to capitulate, then why is it that as the shutdown gets more painful, Trump capitulates? If the idea here is the more pressure you put on Democrats by allowing the pain to be felt by a broader swath of people who then blame the Democrats, if that's the idea here, then why not stick with it? Well, the idea is that, again, this is a cheap way out for the president of the United States. I think if you want a wall, you got to be disappointed today. Here's the president saying that walls should not be controversial because walls work.
Walls should not be controversial. Our country has built 654 miles of barrier over the last 15 years, and every career Border Patrol agent I have spoken with has told me that walls work. They do work. No matter where you go, they work. Israel built a wall, 99.9% successful. Won't be any different for us. They keep criminals out. They save good people from attempting a very dangerous journey from other countries, thousands of miles, because they think they have a glimmer of hope of coming through. With a wall, they don't have that hope. They keep drugs out, and they dramatically increase efficiency by allowing us to patrol far larger areas with far fewer people.
Okay, so how's this all going to end? This is all going to end with the National Emergency Declaration, because Trump's going to get pummeled by immigration hawks, border security hawks, and then he's simply going to declare a national emergency. If it gets tied up, then he just blames the judiciary and the wall doesn't get built. Again, none of this was geared toward great – this wasn't a great negotiation strategy. It just was not a good negotiation strategy. There are no two ways about it. And all you have to do is look at the faces of the Democrats to know that this thing went sideways on Trump incredibly quickly. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are extraordinarily happy today. And honestly, they have every right to be extraordinarily happy today, because the fact is that they defeated Trump in this government shutdown negotiation. Now, again, Trump could do something different in the future. I think that's highly unlikely. We are going national emergency direction. Okay, before we go any further on this score, first, I want to remind you that your business can always be more efficient. And one way to make your business more efficient is not to spend oodles of money when it comes to your legal bills. The new year puts things into perspective, and now's a good time for you to make your business more efficient by making sure that you are spending what you should be spending on the law, and that means LegalZoom.com. With their network of independent attorneys licensed in all 50 states, LegalZoom can help you navigate your legal needs. From wills and trusts to LLCs, trademarks, contract reviews, and more, LegalZoom has helped more than 4 million people like you take care of their responsibilities. The best part is that LegalZoom is not a law firm, so you won't get charged by the hour. I've been using LegalZoom for years as a lawyer. They have all sorts of great forms, wills, trusts, estates, but now they have that network of attorneys who can provide you legal advice whenever you need it. Go check them out right now at LegalZoom.com, and for special savings, be sure to enter promo code Shapiro in the referral box at checkout. Again, that's LegalZoom, where life meets legal, LegalZoom.com, and use that promo code Shapiro at checkout so you get some special savings. LegalZoom has a vast panoply of fantastic legal services that are going to save you tons of money over having to go to some expensive law firm. LegalZoom.com, and use promo code Shapiro at checkout. All right, so the Democrats are obviously celebrating. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, very, very happy today. Both of them have declared that President Trump not only is not going to get his wall in the next negotiation, but also that he will not be doing his State of the Union address on Tuesday as was originally planned. Look at the expression and just listen to the voices of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer discussing the State of the Union address.
The State of the Union is not planned now. I get that. What I said to the president is when the government is open, we will discuss a mutually agreeable date. And I'll look forward to doing that and welcoming the president to the House of Representatives for the State of the Union when we agree on that mutual agreeable date.
And Pelosi and Schumer are both overjoyed at how this entire thing worked out. It looks like Trump basically lost his shirt in this negotiation. Pelosi now runs the government. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Pelosi runs the government. Trump can try the national emergency method. We will see if it works. I am highly skeptical, again, that it will. I don't think the courts will let it stand. So, and what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I really don't have anything further on this particular topic. The president said he was going to go all the way to the wall. He did not go all the way to the wall, so there will be no wall. The wall, it turns out, is in our hearts, and Mexico is not paying for it, and the likelihood of an actual wall is pretty low. The likelihood of an actual wall has now been reduced by a significant percentage. Any future leverage when it comes to government shutdowns, or frankly, any sort of political fight in general, has been greatly reduced by Trump caving not only on the State of the Union address in the last week, but also caving when it came to this government shutdown. Again, there are a lot of folks on the right who are saying that Trump is still going to win, that this is still going to redound to his benefit. If you watched how this went for the last 6 weeks, wait 3 weeks for him to declare a national emergency and then declare he's going to shift around funding and see how that goes. Because he wasn't willing to stand up to the media for the last 6 weeks. I don't know, you know, how this I'm just skeptical. I'm deeply skeptical. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Trump does have a strategy here. I'm perfectly willing to acknowledge if that ends up being the case. But again, I think the evidence there is extraordinarily scanty, and the president has hurt himself with his base. He's hurt himself with moderates. His approval ratings are in the low 30s. The people who are in that 34%, 35% of people who like President Trump were mostly the people who are border hawks. Some of those people will stick with him. Some of those people will not. He did not win himself any favors with how he ran this government shutdown. Okay, in just a second, we will take a look at President Trump's 2020 prospects. First, let's talk about an uncomfortable fact. We're all going to plots. Because we are all going to plots, it is necessary that we all have life insurance. That's an important part of being an adult. Policy Genius has created a website that makes it easy for you to compare quotes, get advice, and get covered without extra fees or commission sales agents. Policy Genius is the easy way to get life insurance in minutes. You can compare quotes from top insurers and find the coverage you need at a price you can afford. From there, Apply online, and the advisors at Policy Genius handle all the red tape for you. They will even negotiate your rate with the insurance company, all part of their best price guarantee. They don't just do life insurance, by the way. They also do health insurance and auto insurance, all sorts of good stuff. If you've been intimidated or frustrated by insurance in the past, try starting your search at PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can compare quotes and apply. You can do the whole thing on your phone right now. Policy Genius is indeed the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. PolicyGenius.com. Go check them out right now. Be a responsible adult and ensure that you are not buried in a pauper's grave, leaving your family bereft. Get that life insurance that you need. PolicyGenius.com. Policy Genius is the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. Okay, well, when we return, we're going to discuss the prospects for President Trump, who just did himself some damage with his base. Now, will his base come back? Sure, I'm sure they will. Will they come back with the same level of enthusiasm? That I don't know. That remains to be seen. Trump has one card left to play. It's the national emergency card. We'll discuss. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
This is the Savage Nation.
The ideas that I've been writing about for years, whether or not he believed them or not, is irrelevant. Like all politicians, he ran with the best ideas. In fact, I was told this by the man who helped create his campaign. Okay, leave it at that. He said, Dr. Savage, we all love you. You are the architect of his campaign and his victory, and we all know it. We thank you for it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So as we have been informing you, the government shutdown ends with a whimper, not with a bang. The president of the United States basically just says, fine, all right, okay. That's basically what happened. The president just went to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and said, all right, after all this hubbub, after all this to-do, I will just sign a three-week continuing resolution to continue to pay everybody. And then in 3 weeks, we'll be right back here, except I'm not going to declare a shutdown this time. I'm just going to declare a national emergency, unless you give me what I want. Democrats say, we're not going to give you what you want. So that means that Trump has one option left. Well, the White House is now tweeting out. They're now tweeting out dozens of rank-and-file Democrats have reached out to the administration and signaled they are willing to provide wall funding if the government reopens. The president made a good-faith offer, and there's a real opportunity to do things that both parties want. Yeah, that is not a thing that is happening. That is not a thing that is happening. Nancy Pelosi has got her house in order. She feels like she just stomped all over Trump. The chances that any of the Democrats are going to vote in favor of wall funding after all of this are extraordinarily low, which means that Trump is going to be put in a position of having to declare a national emergency, at which point folks on the left will declare him a tyrant and the judiciary will strike it down. All right, so all of that said, how does this affect Trump in the long term? Government shutdowns don't tend to have a long-term effect on presidents unless they have a real effect on the economy. If a government shutdown results in a recession, then obviously people are going to be upset. But if it's just a little bit of a government shutdown, if it's a blip on the radar, no biggie. There's a government shutdown in 2011. Barack Obama won election pretty easily over Mitt Romney. So is it really going to impact Trump that there was a government shutdown now? No, but it is going to remind a lot of members of his base that he did not stand tall. Now, that's what the national emergency is going to be designed to do, right, is to win back those people in his base, because then all those people will simply say, well, you know, he did what he could, and the Democrats wouldn't go along with him. Okay, well, if the wall doesn't get built, I judge folks by results. I'm not going to be satisfied with a declaration of a national emergency and no wall being built. And if the judiciary stops him from building a wall because it's not clear he has statutory authority to do so, well, then we're just going to have to live with the political infight that's going to occur from there. Looking at 2020, Trump simply can't afford to lose a lot of votes. I mean, he can't afford to lose any votes. He has to gain votes. I mean, the fact is between 2000 and 2004, George W. Bush, who lost the popular vote in 2000 but won it in 2004, had to pick up something like 10 to 11 million additional votes in order to win re-election. Trump is going to have to pick up more than that because the population is still growing, so the electorate keeps growing. He's going to have to pick up, because he lost the popular vote by 2.5 million and then ran the narrowest possible gauntlet, he's going to have to pick up 13 to 14 million additional votes in the next election cycle. Has he done anything in the last 6 months that makes that more likely? Probably not. But that said, the Electoral College still is dicey. The Electoral College is still up in the air. There's a piece in Politico right now talking about how Florida is still Trump's state to lose. Trump has solidified Florida in his own aisle. He's also solidified Ohio in his own aisle. Now, he can win Florida and Ohio. If he loses Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, he still loses the election. All of those states have been trending blue recently. The election of 2020 isn't over, but it would be good if Trump had a signal accomplishment that he could actually point to, aside from the tax cuts, per se. Democrats, however, are not going to give him that accomplishment. Chuck Schumer came out and said, listen, no, there's not going to be any wall. That's not a thing that we are doing. We are not funding any of this. And listen to the glee in Senator Chuck Schumer's voice.
Hopefully now the president has learned his lesson. Now, once the president signs the continuing resolution, we in Congress will roll up our sleeves and try to find some agreement on border security. We don't agree on some of the specifics of border security. Democrats are firmly against the wall.
Okay, so they say that the Democrats are not going to pay for any part of the wall. So it turns out that they were never negotiating in good faith. Trump knew that, which is, again, why you have to apply the pressure. Trump did not. So how is this going to impact him in 2020? His base is not large enough, especially if he keeps taking the wind out of his base, for him to simply win. There's a piece by Rachel Bitecoffer, who is a professor of political science at Christopher Newport University, in the New York Times today, talking about Trump's strategy in 2020. And she says that Trump's strategy of doubling down on the base is unlikely to win him elections. She said, for the 2018 midterms, my model predicted a large partisan surge for Democrats. I identified America's suburbs as ground zero for a political realignment away from Republican House candidates. The realignment was fueled by two things. One was conventional, the movement of disaffected independent or swing voters away from the president's party. That's happened in every midterm election since 2006. The other can be tracked to the mobilization of negative partisanship in driving turnout from Democrats who usually sit out midterm elections. By identifying Republican-held districts with both a reasonably competitive partisan electorate and a large number of college-educated voters who could form a Democratic turnout swell, I predicted that Democrats would pick up 42 House seats and sweep Reagan country in Orange County, California. She ended up being exactly right. She says that by 2020, it will be something similar. She says Democrats will win big in more urban, more diverse, better educated, more liberal-friendly states and will continue to lose ground in other states like Missouri. Although Mr. Trump may well win Ohio and perhaps even Florida again, it's not likely he will carry Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania in 2020. And his trouble with swing voters, whom he won in 2016, will put Arizona, North Carolina, perhaps even Georgia in play for Democrats, and remove Virginia, Colorado, Nevada from the list of swing states. In short, the 2020 presidential election is shaping up as a battle of the bases, and the Democrats' base is simply bigger. So if that's true, then Trump is going to have to either reach out to the middle or get his base jazzed up to levels we have not yet seen. Nothing that happened this week is going to accomplish either of those goals, which is pretty negative news for the president. So things have got to change, and change quickly. Time is running out on the 2020 election, even though it's still early on the calendar. All righty. Well, coming up next, we were going to talk with Judge Napolitano of Fox News, who has some perspective on the Roger.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Improve your health with OsteoStrong. Not a drug, not a gym, just 10 minutes a week. One thing we all have in common, a skeletal system. By implementing the OsteoStrong strategy, you may experience the following results. Less joint and back pain, improved bone density, improved posture, improved balance, and improved athletic performance. To learn more about OsteoStrong, visit Linda and Ken in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, 243 Athens Avenue, or give them a call at 215-311-5.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Imagine floating on a cloud, relaxing so deeply your body aches dissipate, your stress levels decrease, and you feel a renewed sense of vitality. It's not a daydream, it's reality, and it's right here in Reading at Treasure of the Ancient Dragon. They have the only float therapy pod in Reading.
Experience the benefits of float therapy in Reading's only float therapy pod inside Treasure of the Ancient Dragons.
Treasure of the Ancient Dragons, behind Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Call 605-0770.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
We've just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Purpose-driven banking.
That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So two big stories of the day. Obviously, we've been talking at length about the president moving to end the government shutdown today. The other big story of the day, of course, the arrest of Roger Stone, a Trump confidant who was arrested today for lying to law enforcement, lying also to the House Select Committee on Intelligence and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. No charges that he was in any underlying involved in underlying crime involving Russia. Like he wasn't involved in criminal activity involving Russia. He lied about what he had done. Here to analyze it with me is Judge Andrew Napolitano, Fox News senior judicial analyst. Judge Napolitano, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Ben.
So, Judge Napolitano, what do you make of the Stone indictment today? What does it tell us more broadly about the Mueller investigation and the direction in which it's moving?
Well, if you watched the arrest of Roger Stone this morning, somehow CNN was there. If you listen to my fellow commentators on Fox and elsewhere, you would think that Stone was at the center of a massive conspiracy orchestrated by Russian intelligence agents to deliver goods on Hillary Clinton to the Trump campaign. But if you read the indictment, you can see how thin and even ephemeral it is, how the lies, the alleged lies, are not even material. Did you speak to communicate with someone by telephone or by email? Did you still have these documents with you at the time you spoke with him? I mean, I think that most of this will be thrown out as so thin and marginal as not to be of any interest to the judiciary. Now, big picture. If this is the best that Bob Mueller has, if he is attempting to use the allegations, the indictment of Stone, to show that Stone was somehow at the center of a conspiracy and it involved high-ranking people in the Trump campaign, and one of them must have been Donald Trump himself, I don't think he's going to get to first base.
Yeah, Judge Napolitano, that's what I was noting is, again, no underlying criminal activity. There's no explicit connection to President Trump. The most I see here is kind of a doofus in the middle of some communications between WikiLeaks and people associated with the Trump campaign. That's not actual criminal activity. So far, virtually every person who has been charged by the Mueller investigation has been charged for lying to the FBI, not charged for any underlying criminal activity, and certainly no underlying criminal activity with regard to conspiracy with the Russian government, which tends to lend credence to the idea that, at least at this point, this feels more like a witch hunt, and Trump is not completely wrong, then it feels like an honest-to-goodness investigation into real Russian criminal activity in coordination with the Trump campaign.
Well, it's obvious, or it appears to those of us that know Roger Stone and know how the system works, that the whole purpose of this indictment, just like the two indictments of Paul Manafort, was to put extraordinary pressure on and fear in the mind and heart of the defendant in order to see if he will trade some information to be relieved of the pressure and the fear. Now, Roger Stone is not someone who would succumb to this. The Stone that I know is one of the toughest SOBs the good Lord ever created. But, you know, everybody has a certain breaking point. But that's been Mueller's M.O. Now, he succeeded in getting a lot of information out of Rick Gates. He didn't get anything substantial, as far as we know, out of Paul Manafort. I don't think he's going to get anything out of Roger Stone either, but that is his M.O. I have condemned this M.O., as you know, Ben, for many years, but prosecutors use it and the courts permit it, and it's standard operating procedure, particularly with the Federal Department of Justice.
And Judge Napolitano, I want to ask you about where you think that, what do you think the final report looks like from Mueller, given, again, we're kind of seeing pieces of the puzzle, and I understand that it's a Seurat painting. We're seeing sort of dots here, and eventually we'll pull back and we'll see what the entire painting looks like. It feels like to me that this is going to be more of a political, more of a political attack on the Trump campaign than a legal attack. It's going to look like the Trump campaign was involved in some shenanigans with regard to WikiLeaks, but nothing actually illegal happened. But it'll give enough ground for the Democrats to claim that the election itself was illegitimate without actually requiring enough criminal activity for indictment.
Well, if Mueller does that, he will undermine substantially the process in which he has engaged. I mean, he has to stay away from the politics, Ben, and just make legal arguments. I don't know what we're going to get from him. My suspicion is that we will get several reports so that where he is really weak will not contaminate where he is stronger. I don't know when these reports are going to come out, but look, this Roger Stone thing, I mean, you know as well as I how long it takes before an indictment of this magnitude comes to trial. Bob Mueller is going to be in business a year from now. What's going to be going on a year from now? The Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primaries. When Rudy Giuliani said this would be over by Easter, he was talking about Easter of 2018. Now this is going to go until Easter of 2020.
Wow.
Unless mysteriously Stone caves or a courageous federal judge dismisses the indictment as being of no legitimate interest to the wheels of justice. So I don't know how this ends. My job is to watch this for Fox and for audiences like yours, and it's a head-scratcher.
And Judge Napolitano, I want to shift topics for just a minute. Today the president essentially ended the government shutdown without anything of value in return. He didn't get any commitment for border funding. He didn't get a commitment for a wall. He said he was going to continue negotiating with Democrats for the next 3 weeks, and then if he didn't get what he wanted, he was going to think about declaring a national emergency and starting to shift funds inside the Defense Department toward the building of a border wall. I want to get your take on the legality of a move like that. I've suggested that I think that that's a stretch, that I think that it'll be likely struck down by the courts should he exercise national emergency power and thus move funding toward the building of border fencing. What's your take on that?
Well, as usual, when we're talking about the Constitution, you and I are on the same page. And this is not just a gut feeling. We both have studied a case called Youngstown Sheet and Tube versus Sawyer, in which President Harry Truman, in a very serious situation during a steel industry strike in which he needed munitions to fight the war in the Korean Peninsula at the time, this is 1952, pretty much declared a national emergency, directed his Secretary of Commerce to seize the steel mills and to spend money hiring people to operate the steel mills. Now, in that case, the owners of the steel mills, who didn't want strangers in there running the place, sued, and the case went to the Supreme Court in about 2 weeks, and the Supreme Court said you can't do it. If Congress wants to do it, Congress would have to condemn the property, pay for it, own it, and operate it. Now, I don't know if the president realizes the obstacles to building this wall. According to Congressman Will Hurd, a person I like very much, a former CIA agent, a conservative Republican from Texas, through whose district most of the wall would go, according to Congressman Hurd, 80% of the real estate is privately owned. And even though most of the owners are supporters of the president, it's going to be a not-in-my-backyard attitude. Stated differently, the government's going to have to exercise eminent domain, which under the law cannot be done by the executive branch, can only be done pursuant to a statute enacted by Congress. So Congress has to appropriate the money and give the government the authority to condemn real estate. The president cannot take money that was budgeted for column A and put it into column Z when column Z, the wall, didn't exist or wasn't contemplated by Congress at the time that column A was funded. So I agree with you, not because we have an activist judiciary. Even some very fine judges that agree with you and me and people listening to us now sitting in the district court in Texas would enjoin this the minute the ink is dry on the president's signature. that's how wide of the mark it would be.
And Judge Napolitano, that really does suggest that this shutdown has gone about as badly as it could go for the president, in the sense that if he was not willing to use the leverage of the shutdown in order to push Democrats to allow him to build the wall.
I am sorry to say that I again agree with you. I'm sorry for agreeing with you. I'm sorry for the outcome, because, I mean, you and I have many friends, some of whom are in the same business we're in, who are going to be all over him in the next 24 to 48 hours, saying he caved and he gave in to amnesty and all kinds of allegations, none of which are solid, but the image of it is going to be bad for the president.
No question, and that really is the biggest problem. And for people who actually care about the wall or who actually want a wall, the wall's not going to get built through a national emergency. So he boxed himself in by not going all the way. If you're going to go all the way, you got to go all the way. He didn't go all the way. A national emergency isn't going to get it out. Isn't going to get him out of this hole. It may shore up some of his support base, but I don't think that the wall ends up being built that way either. So we go into 2020 with no wall and his biggest
Correct.
Campaign promise unfulfilled.
Now, I read all the federal statutes in immigration, which is quite a task, Ben. you could do it if you're currently having trouble sleeping. You can see how they were compromises reflective of the cultural attitudes of the eras in which they were written. So one thing that Donald Trump, in my view, is 110% correct on is that the entire scheme from beginning to end needs to be rewritten, but not with a gun to people's heads. We need a great national debate on immigration and naturalization and the writing of statutes that are consistent with each other. I don't know how he thought that would happen while air traffic controllers were working overtime because their buddies were calling in sick and LaGuardia is being shut down on a Friday afternoon.
Now, Judge Andrew Napolitano of Fox News, thanks so much for joining the program. I really appreciate your legal insight into all these crucial issues.
Anytime, Ben. All the best.
Okay, so in just a second, we are going to get to some state-level corruption that was hidden during an election cycle. Shocking. First, I want to talk to you a little bit about your sleep quality. So there's nobody on the planet like you. Why would you buy a generic mattress built for everyone else? Helix Sleep built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper, a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed, with Helix, there's no more guessing and no more confusion. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. For couples, Helix can even split the mattress down the middle, providing individual support needs and feel preferences for each side. They have a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Again, you get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That is helixsleep.com/Shapiro for $125 off your mattress order. That is helixsleep.com/Shapiro. My wife and I have a Helix Sleep mattress. It is just fantastic. My wife and I took that 2-minute sleep quiz. We got the mattress. It arrived in the mail. We unpacked it. It simply inflated right in front of us. We tossed it on the bed frame. We were good to go. It's so good we got one for my sister for her wedding as well. Go check it out right now, helixsleep.com/Shapiro, to get $125 off your mattress order. All right. So the latest when it comes to Roger Stone, we'll get to in just a little while. So we'll get to all of that. But it is worth noting, once again, that with the government shutdown ending, the strategy toward the actual building of a wall is lacking. So the big question for Republican supporters is going to be whether the president can get away with not building a wall before 2020. And I think the answer is probably yes. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I think the answer is yes, because, again, elections take place in dichotomous situations. You got to pick either the Democrat or the Republican, or you just stay home. I don't know how many Republicans are going to stay home. I will say the level of enthusiasm, if there is no wall by 2020, is going to be a lot lower. A lot of his diehard base, the people who have stuck with him through thick and thin, if the scandals keep mounting, if the pressure keeps mounting, if he keeps making boo-boos, if his popularity rating continues to drop, if the economy should take a turn for the worse, the people you need out there raising hell are exactly the people who are going to be disappointed if there is no wall. Now, if they're willing to buy into the fig leaf of the National Emergency Declaration, you know, that's on them. But the National Emergency Declaration, maybe, again, happy to be proved wrong. I don't think it's going to get done that way, nor, frankly, do I think it should get done that way under the Constitution. Okay, in just a second, I want to get to some corruption at the state level. First, let's talk about how you send your packages. So this is why you need stamps.com. So I know you want to go down to the post office with you, schlep all the packages to the post office, wait in line. Probably not. Instead, you can do it all from your desk. Go to stamps.com. It'll bring all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service directly to your computer. Stamps.com is the faster, more convenient way to get postage. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. And the mail carrier picks it up. No more lugging mail to the post office. No more hassles. Stamps.com not only saves you time, it saves you money as well. With Stamps.com, you get discounted postage rates you can't even get at the post office. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. There's no equipment to lease, no long-term commitments. I use Stamps.com because here at the Daily Wire offices, we simply don't have the time to send our folks off to the post office, and we like to save money. You, too, can enjoy Stamps.com service with a special offer. It includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Start off the new year right. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in the promo code BENRADIO, that is B-E-N-R-A-D-I-O, BENRADIO. That is Stamps.com, promo code BENRADIO. Go check it out right now if you want to get a great deal and save some money. All right, coming up, you remember this guy named Andrew Gillum. Andrew Gillum ran for governor of Florida. And we were told by the media that despite allegations that he was involved in serious corruption, none of that was a concern. Turns out, that was a lie. I'll explain. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is the Savage Nation.
The ideas that I've been writing about for years, whether or not he believed them or not, is irrelevant. Like all politicians, he ran with the best ideas. In fact, I was told this by the man who helped create his campaign. Okay, leave it at that. He said, Dr. Savage, we all love you. You are the architect of his campaign and his victory, and we all know it. We thank you for it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep. And you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9970. Our New Start program could stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970. That's 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-312-9970.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So you remember Andrew Gillum. Remember this guy, Andrew Gillum. Andrew Gillum was the guy who barely lost a race to Ron DeSantis in Florida. Very radical candidate, widely promoted by the press. We were told that he was the future of the Democratic Party. Well, it turns out that Andrew Gillum was the mayor of Tallahassee. And there were investigations into Andrew Gillum for supposedly being essentially bribed by undercover agents for the FBI in order to sign off on some public-private development projects. Well, now the Florida Commission on Ethics found probable cause that former Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum, the Democratic nominee for governor in 2018, violated state ethics laws when he allegedly accepted gifts during an out-of-town excursion with lobbyists and vendors and then did not report them. The Ethics Commission's vote happened behind closed doors. The probable cause finding was confirmed by Gillum's attorney, again, and Barry Richard of Tallahassee, and Erwin Jackson, a local businessman who filed a state ethics complaint against Gillum in 2017. Allegations of ethical improprieties over trips Gillum took while he was mayor to Costa Rica and New York City dogged him in the closing days of the general election, according to the Tallahassee Democrat. Depending on how the case shakes out, the allegations could further tarnish Gillum, whose political aspirations didn't end with his defeat in the governor's race to former GOP Congressman Ron DeSantis. Gillum now has the option of entering into a settlement with the Ethics Commission, which typically involves an admission of guilt, or contesting the allegations in a court-like administrative hearing. The ethics complaint alleged that Gillum violated state law when he traveled to Costa Rica in May 2016 and New York City in August 2016. Both of the trips overlapped with attempts by undercover FBI agents investigating public corruption to get close to Gillum. During the Costa Rica trip, Corey, who later turned against Gillum, sent the mayor a calendar invitation for the two of them to meet with one of the undercover agents who was posing as a developer from Atlanta. During the New York City trip, Gillum went on outings with Corey, Miller, and at least one other undercover FBI agent, including a boat ride around Liberty Island and a performance of Hamilton on Broadway. Gillum's campaign released documents during the trip it said proved Gillum paid for all of his expenses on the Costa Rica trip. Gillum also blamed his brother for the tickets to Hamilton. But that is not absolutely clear, and now the Ethics Commission is saying, yeah, that's not exactly right. Under official Florida statute, officials are barred from accepting gifts to influence them or gifts over $100 from vendors or lobbyists that have done business with their agency. Now, we covered this at the time, in the middle of the Florida race, and we pointed out that the Florida race was not being handled well by the national media, that if some Republican mayor had been under serious FBI investigation for taking bribes, which is basically what this is, that would be the headline. Instead, the headline was newcomer Andrew Gillum, a new guy changing the face of Florida politics. Now it turns out that he was basically using his mayor's office, allegedly, like a bed and breakfast, that he was essentially allowing people to buy him off with Hamilton tickets. And that was not widely reported, except by the Tallahassee Democrat at the time, received no national media coverage. And then folks wonder why it is that Democrats have an inherent advantage when it comes to these elections. They can be just as corrupt as they want to be. How many Democrats have been under serious investigation for years, and you don't hear about it at all? Right? We just saw that Sheila Jackson Lee had to step down as head of the Congressional Black Caucus only after pressure from her own caucus, thanks to a lawsuit suggesting that she fired an aide who had complained of sexual harassment. Right? That was in the works for many years. Okay, that was not anything new. We see this with Democrats all the time. Anytime a Republican runs for higher office, they're scrutinized all the way back to their teenage years for anything they may have done wrong in their yearbook. Anytime a Democrat runs for office, we ignore all of the things that they do and pretend that everything that they do is basically okay. That's how Julia Salazar is now a member of the New York legislature, right? Julia Salazar is the New York State Senator for the 18th District. She completely falsified her past, like completely falsified it during the campaign. It didn't receive enough coverage for her even to lose her race in that race. It is incredible how much scrutiny Democrats get to avoid simply by dint of being Democrats. Pretty amazing stuff. And by the way, this accounts for celebrities as well. If you are a celebrity who agrees with all the things the left wants you to agree with, you can go years without anybody saying anything. Right? It took only, how many times were there rumors about Harvey Weinstein? Like 1,000 times there were rumors about Harvey Weinstein. And nobody did anything. And then finally, there's one report that breaks, and suddenly there are 100 people in Hollywood about whom there are reports. Maybe that's because there actually is an omerta. There actually is a conspiracy of silence when it comes to media members and people who are like-minded. If you're covering for folks on your own side because they are on your own side, you are doing it wrong. And you're particularly doing it wrong if you're an objective journalist refusing to cover the facts objectively. And this is why it's so irritating to watch the media coverage of people like AOC. When you see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez ripping into fact-checkers who are legitimately fact-checking her for good reason, and none of the other fact-checkers come to the defense of their fellows because AOC is on their side, it should tell you something. And what it should tell you is that Democrats in the media have an advantage of somewhere between 5 and 10 points in every race they run, every single race they run. Andrew Gillum is just an example of that. If people have been widely aware of the fact that Andrew Gillum was under federal investigation for possible bribery? Would he have been competitive with Ron DeSantis in Florida? Instead, we got Andrew Gillum ripping Ron DeSantis as a racist without evidence, turning what should not have been a close race.
Join Shasta Regional Medical Center Foundation on Friday, February 1st for the annual Go Reading Luncheon at the Holiday Inn. Protect your heart health, the ones you love, and be inspired to live a heart-healthy lifestyle. Keynote speakers include two cardiovascular specialists sharing life-saving information on women's heart health. Shop in the Red Boutique, enjoy champagne, and complimentary Go Red goodie bag tote. Wearing red is highly encouraged. This event sells out every year. Go to ShastaRegional.com for more information. Let's get heart smart together at the Go Reading Luncheon.
Hi, I'm Kevin, owner of Page's Copy Center, located in the heart of downtown Reading. No matter what the job is, when it comes to print, scanning, and mailing, we do it all for you. We specialize in color copies, binding documents, making booklets, and bulk mailing. Whether it's faxing, laminating, taking passport photos, or scanning your files, we tailor to your business's needs. No job is too big or small. We do it all.
Page's Copy Center, locally owned for 30 years for all your business copy, print, and mailing services. Give Page's a call at 246-9178. Visit them at 1645 Pine Street.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump has signed a bill that temporarily opens the federal government for 3 weeks. With the signed agreement, former presidential advisor Sebastian Gorka says a border security debate takes center stage.
Now we will see an intensive three-week period, and whether the deal is real in terms of giving the Democrats what they want in terms of a government reopening and giving the president what he has promised the American people in terms of border security.
Democrats have resolutely opposed a border wall. Is there any likelihood that they will compromise? Former presidential advisor Sebastian Gorka has doubts.
I don't expect to see any thawing on the Democrat side unless representatives, congressmen and women, are kept in D.C.
President Trump yielded on his demand that Congress provide more border wall money before federal agencies get back to work, but he warns that the government could shut down again if we don't get a fair deal from Congress. Former Trump advisor Roger Stone says he believes his arrest in the special counsel's Russia probe was politically motivated.
I will plead not guilty to these charges. I will defeat them in court. I believe this is a politically motivated investigation.
Apple's reducing the size of its workforce assigned to driverless car technology as the company reorganizes amid weakening sales of iPhones, its biggest moneymaker.
The company has acknowledged the cutbacks without specifying the number of jobs affected. CNBC reported that more than 200 employees were dismissed from Apple's self-driving car division, known internally as Project Titan. Apple says some of the employees who lost their jobs in the driverless car division have been reassigned to other parts of the company. Apple says it remains committed to helping build robotic cars, something it's been working on for several years. However, it hasn't made as many inroads so far in the field as Waymo, a Google spinoff that began a decade ago.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The three-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Washington's Journalism Museum is looking for a new home.
The Freedom Forum announced the sale of the museum property in Washington, situated on Pennsylvania Avenue between Congress and the White House, to Johns Hopkins University for $372 million. The Baltimore-based university intends to use the building as a center for its Washington-based graduate programs. The museum devoted to journalism and the First Amendment will remain open to the public through 2019. Jan Newharth is chairwoman and CEO of the Freedom Forum, the museum's creator and main funder. She says the group is committed to continuing the museum's programs and will be exploring options to perhaps find a new physical location in Washington. Keith Peters, Washington.
Facial detection technology that Amazon is marketing to law enforcement often misidentifies women, particularly those with darker skin, according to researchers from MIT and the University of Toronto. News and analysis at townhall.com. With trust in governments taking a hit since the global financial crisis, people around the world view their employer as the most trusted institution in their lives. Correspondent Jeremy House has more on the story.
In an annual survey of trust in institutions by public relations firm Edelman, 75% of respondents trusted their employer. That's a huge 19 percentage points more than the equivalent trust in business as a whole and 27 points more than governments. Waning trust in public institutions in recent years has accompanied a rise in populist and nationalist politics. The survey also found the largest ever difference in trust in public institutions between wealthier people with college educations and poorer ones without degrees. Jeremy House reporting.
Japan-based All Nippon Airways has begun taking reservations for flights between Tokyo and Honolulu on an Airbus A380, the world's largest passenger airliner. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Coming to the Cascade Theater in Reading January 30th, Black Violin. This chart-topping group mashes up classical, hip-hop, and rock. They've collaborated with some of music's biggest names like Tom Petty, 50 Cent, and Aerosmith. Now they're mixing it up with Reading students to break musical barriers on the Cascade stage January 30th. Don't miss this groundbreaking night of music. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot coming up for you this hour. The latest from Venezuela, where the military has decided to side with the current dictator of the country. Democrats, at least a few of the fresh faces, so fresh, so face of the Democratic Party, who are siding with the Venezuelan dictator as well. We will also get to the bizarre, weird kind of phenomenon of people believing that Michael Jackson was an okay person, because there's some new evidence that that is not true. But we begin right now with, first of all, a reminder that the government shutdown is ending today. The president of the United States came forth and he said that the government shutdown is over. He did a presser at the Rose Garden in which he said he was proud to announce that the government shutdown had ended without any sort of concession on the part of the Democrats. So that's not going to be very good for him. The other big story of the day is that Roger Stone was arrested. So Roger Stone is a political dark arts magician, right? There's a whole Netflix documentary about Roger Stone, this political dark arts guru. And one of the things that you see when you watch that documentary, one of the things you notice when you follow politics closely enough, is that people are really dumb. Or just in general, people are very, very stupid. Like the people who are considered the greatest experts at things, and I'll include myself at this. Like I think that the vast majority of people are really dumb and don't know what they're talking about most of the time. And that means that if you even have like a little intelligence, then you will end up on the top of the heap, being very prominent and very famous in whatever field you choose to enter. Because let's be real about this. Donald Trump is the president of the United States, and he was surrounded by some of the stupidest people on planet Earth during his campaign. And one of those people was apparently Roger Stone. Let me just flash back about a year to Roger Stone explaining that he was not, in fact, going to be arrested and tweeting it out to the world in the middle of the Mueller investigation, daring Robert Mueller to arrest him. It did not go this way, as it turns out.
Oh, my God, I'm busted. Drinking Russian vodka. Mueller, arrest me, libtards.
That was there's the great genius. He has a big tattoo of Nixon on his back, by the way. Always the first sign of an intelligent person is the guy who has a tattoo of Richard Nixon on his back. That's interesting. Interesting choices in life. Anyway, the indictment Here's the thing about the indictment. The indictment doesn't actually allege any underlying criminal activity with regard to Roger Stone in Russia. So you're seeing a lot of media headlines, Trump associate arrested. Wow, this is the next big domino to fall. Soon Trump will be frog marched out of the White House. Nonsense. Nonsense. That is not what the indictment says. So we are going to, with you, go through the indictment right now in the most legal, objective fashion that we can manage. And we're going to talk about why exactly Roger Stone may or may not go to jail. So the indictment came from the grand jury of the District of Columbia. First of all, important to note, President Trump has tweeted about Stone's arrest. And part of it's kind of true and part of it's not kind of true. Here's what President Trump tweeted. He tweeted, "Greatest witch hunt in the history of our country. No collusion. Border coyotes, drug dealers, and human traffickers are treated better. Who alerted CNN to be there?" Now, the reason that he's saying who alerted CNN to be there is because CNN was on scene when Roger Stone was arrested. And here's what it actually sounded like.
Breaking news this morning, the FBI has arrested Roger Stone, the president's political advisor. Exclusive footage you're looking at right now from CNN as the FBI arrives at Roger Stone's residence in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Okay, that's it. FBI, open the door. And now they're about to say another warning. FBI warrant.
You can see Roger Stone a little bit behind that door. And yes, you know, standard operating procedure for the FBI to show up heavily armed.
In riot gear.
Like this.
So how exactly did CNN know about this? Apparently, there was a CNN reporter staking out the grand jury in Washington, D.C. It wasn't any sort of conspiracy, which is what Trump sort of implied there. And the best part of this is after Roger Stone is actually arrested, he then emerges from the courthouse on $250,000 bail, giving the Nixon victory sign. And he's wearing like a polo shirt, and he's holding his hands up so high that you can actually see his belly. It's pretty fantastic. So it's, you know, we live in a wonderful country. What can you say? Stone is now speaking out. He says he's not going to become a rat. He was on InfoWars, your source for all great information, if you are a conspiracy theorist. And here is Roger Stone, a friend of InfoWars, explaining that he is not going to rat out the president.
It's an absurdity. They've tried to hurt my position there at InfoWars. They've made false allegations regarding your compensation to Jerry Corsi. Yet none of that is reflected in the charges brought today. These charges are thin, to say the least, but they seek to destroy me.
Okay, now, he's not wrong that the charges are thin. Okay, so here's the part Roger Stone is correct. So I think that Roger Stone is a sleazeball of the highest magnitude. That does not change the fact that Roger Stone is not totally wrong about the thinness of the charges. Here is what the charges say. They first review the fact that in May 2016, the DNC and the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, became aware that they had been hacked, and that in mid-June, the DNC announced it had been hacked. And then WikiLeaks started releasing all sorts of tranches of emails from the DNC and from John Podesta. So what exactly are the allegations? So the allegations are that by in or around June and July of 2016, Roger Stone informed senior Trump campaign officials that he had information indicating that WikiLeaks had documents whose release would be damaging to the Clinton campaign. The head of WikiLeaks was located at all relevant times at the Ecuadorian embassy in London, United Kingdom. And says after the July 22nd, 2016 release of stolen DNC emails by WikiLeaks, a senior Trump campaign official was directed to contact Stone about any additional releases and what other damaging information WikiLeaks had regarding the Clinton campaign. This is the key sentence of the entire indictment. It has political ramifications, but not necessarily legal ramifications. It also suggests that Steve Bannon ratted out Roger Stone. Okay, that's really what it suggests. So Steve Bannon is the senior campaign official who is named in the sentence. It says in the sentence that he was directed to contact Stone about any additional releases and what other damaging information WikiLeaks had. So the implication that is being drawn is that Trump may have told Steve Bannon to talk to Roger Stone about a material that he had gotten from Randy Credico from WikiLeaks. So you can follow all of that, then that means that there's basically a chain of custody of WikiLeaks material that may have traveled WikiLeaks to Randy Credico, to Roger Stone, to Steve Bannon, to Donald Trump. Now, they have not proved the link between Trump and Bannon. They have not proved the link between Credico and WikiLeaks yet. They haven't proved any of these. And none of that's actually criminal, by the way. Eugene Volokh, law professor at UCLA, had an entire piece a couple of years ago in the Washington Post about being given information by foreign sources for use in a campaign. Not clear that's illegal, but it does go to the overall political charge that Trump was colluding with Russia and only through working with Russia did he win the election. Now, again, I don't think that's true. I think that WikiLeaks releases all this material anyway, but it looks like generic collusion, if non-criminal collusion, and may implicate Trump. So that's the charge that people are, and it's not a criminal charge. That is the allegation that people are focusing in on. Stone afterward told the Trump campaign about potential future releases of damaging material by WikiLeaks. Stone also corresponded with his associates about contacting WikiLeaks in order to obtain additional emails damaging to the Clinton campaign, according to the indictment. So apparently, he sent an email to Randy Cretico with the subject line, get to Julian Assange and go talk to him. And he emailed him repeatedly about the exchange of information. Apparently, he made public statements repeatedly about how he communicated with Julian Assange and about how he was communicating with WikiLeaks. He also exchanged written communications, including by text message and email, with a person who's probably Jerome Corsi about WikiLeaks and what the head of WikiLeaks planned to do, again, informing him that he had sort of inside information. Now, again, none of this is actually criminal, right? Knowing what WikiLeaks is going to release and then talking about it is not actually criminal activity. The part that is allegedly criminal activity is twofold. One, him lying to law enforcement officials, and two, him directing others to lie to law enforcement officials. And it is pretty clear, you know, from the actual emails and texts that at least Stone was proclaiming, along with Jerome Corsi and others, that they had inside knowledge of what was happening at WikiLeaks. So, for example, the indictment suggests that on or about October 1st, 2016, which was a Saturday, person two, that would be Corsi, sent Roger Stone text messages that stated, "Big news Wednesday. Now pretend you don't know me. Hillary's campaign will die this week." Okay, so obviously they thought they had inside information at the very least. And then there was another reference, to Steve Bannon and other members of the Trump campaign. Now, does this mean necessarily that there's anything criminal happening with the campaign? No. What it means is that he supposedly lied about a couple of things. What did he lie about? Well, he caused a letter to be submitted to the House Intelligence Committee stating that Roger Stone has no documents, records, or electronically stored information, regardless of form, other than those widely available, that reasonably could lead to the discovery of facts within the investigation's publicly announced parameters. In other words, he said, I don't have any documents. He did have documents. Indict him. If that's all this comes down to, that's not really all that damning, frankly. Also, well, we'll get to the other elements of the indictment in a second. I want you to have the full flavor of what the indictment says, because the media are playing this as the end of the road for President Trump, and it certainly is not. First, we need to talk about Congress. So Congress is obviously out of control. Nancy Pelosi is going to blow out the spending, propose the wildest programs you've ever heard of. They're on a mission to thwart our freedom. But too many representatives don't understand how to preserve liberty, and of course some, especially so-called progressives, actually want to diminish it. Now, I'm not expecting folks on the left to actually bother to learn these things, but that's why you need to know them, so that you know how to check the left. Knowing how to do that means studying with the folks at Hillsdale College. For a limited time, my good friends at Hillsdale have brought their powerful online course on the history and proper role of Congress back absolutely for free to equip you to know what we should expect of our Congress. Hillsdale is on a mission to restore liberty in our country, and you can take their excellent online courses for free for a limited time. Sign up today for their critical course on Congress at benforhillsdale.com. Now, listen, I love Hillsdale College. I visit dozens of colleges every year. Most of them spend a lot of time indoctrinating students in all of the worst ideas of the left. Not so Hillsdale College, which is still focused on eternal truths and real, actual constitutional knowledge. Go check out benforhillsdale.com. Check out all their critical courses and go support them at benforhillsdale.com. Okay, so continuing with the Stone indictment. Stone is also being indicted because during his testimony before the House Intelligence Committee, he was asked, so you have no emails to anyone concerning the allegations of hacked documents? And Stone said, that is correct, not to my knowledge. And that, of course, turns out not really to be true. In truth and in fact, according to the indictment, Stone had sent and received numerous emails and text messages during the 2016 campaign in which he discussed WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, and its possession of hacked emails. So in other words, again, no underlying criminal activity, but he said he didn't write emails about it, therefore he's going to be indicted. This is pretty weak sauce. This is it's really weak sauce. By falsely claiming he had no emails or text messages in his possession that referred to Julian Assange, Stone avoided providing a basis for the SCI, the House Intelligence Committee, to subpoena records in his possession. So in a second, I'm going to get to the rest of the indictment because, again, I think that when it's all put forward, there's not a ton here. There's not a ton here. I mean, a lot of people can do a lot of sleazy things. Doesn't mean those sleazy things are criminal or impeachable. Get to that in one second. First, let's talk about your online security and privacy. So, as a somewhat public figure, I'm constantly worried about being hacked or spied on. I don't want my emails compromised or my credit card number or online banking password stolen, but that happens to hundreds of millions of people every year. So how can you protect yourself? Well, the company I trust to defend my online security and privacy is ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your connection by encrypting 100% of your network data and hiding your IP address. That means nobody can record or access your online activity. Download the ExpressVPN app on your computer or smartphone, and then just use the internet the way you normally would. You click one button in the ExpressVPN app, and voila, you are now protected. ExpressVPN is great for accessing content from anywhere, with VPN locations in 94 countries and blazing fast speeds. ExpressVPN is consistently rated the world's number one VPN service for internet users. So, if you want the best in online protection, you want to be protected from spies and hackers, ExpressVPN is the only way to do it. The nice folks over at ExpressVPN have extended special pricing of less than $7 per month to all my fans. So go visit expressvpn.com/Ben right now and claim your discount. That is expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Go check it out right now. Okay, in a second, I want to get to the completion of the Roger Stone indictment, then we will show you the Democratic response, which has been wildly over the top, and we'll talk about the ramifications of the Roger Stone arrest and indictment on the Trump campaign for 2020, as well as on the Trump White House. Is impeachment in the works? I don't quite think so. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
About the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy, it's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We are going through the Roger Stone indictment in detail so you know what's in there. So far, all that's in there is that Roger Stone lied about having emails, allegedly lied about having emails in his possession with regard to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. And that's about it. Then they suggest, the FBI suggests that Roger Stone committed false and misleading testimony about communications with the Trump campaign. And this is where we get to the heart of the matter. According to the indictment, during his House Intelligence Committee testimony, Stone was asked, did you discuss your conversations with the intermediary with anyone involved in the Trump campaign? Stone falsely and misleadingly answered, I did not. In truth and in fact, Stone spoke to multiple individuals involved in the Trump campaign. They say on multiple occasions, Stone told senior Trump campaign officials about materials possessed by WikiLeaks and the timing of future releases. So that would be the sort of collusion on a general level that Democrats are talking about. On or about October 3rd, 2016, Stone wrote to a supporter involved with the Trump campaign, spoke to my friend in London last night, the payload is still coming. And then the next day, he told a high-ranking Trump campaign official that the head of WikiLeaks had a serious security concern, but would release a load going forward every week. That apparently would be Steve Bannon. Then we get to him allegedly obstructing justice. They say that by mid-October 2017, Stone sent person two, that would be Jerome Corsi, an excerpt of his letter to the House Intelligence Committee that identified Corsi as his intermediary to WikiLeaks. Stone urged Corsi, if asked by the Congress, to falsely confirm what Stone had previously testified to, including that it was Corsi who provided Stone with the basis for Stone's early August 2016 statements about his contact with WikiLeaks. On or around November 2017, person two, that would be Corsi, received a request from the Committee on Intelligence to testify voluntarily before the committee. After being contacted by Congress, Corsi spoke and texted repeatedly with Stone. In these discussions, Stone sought to have Corsi testify falsely either that this person was the identified intermediary or that the person could not remember what he had told Stone. For example, and this is where it starts to get kind of juicy, on November 19th, 2017, in a text message to Roger Stone, person two said that his lawyer wanted to see him. Stone responded, Stonewall it, plead the fifth, anything to save the plan, Richard Nixon. Okay, always a smart thing to be referencing a president who is impeached over obstruction of justice while you're obstructing justice. It's always a real bright move. On or about November 21st, 2017, Corsi texted Stone, quote, I was told that the House committee lawyer told my lawyer I will be getting a subpoena. Stone responded, that was the point at which your lawyers should have told them you would assert your Fifth Amendment rights if compelled to appear. On or about November 28, 2017, this person, Corsi, received a subpoena compelling his testimony. And a couple of days later, Stone asked another person, that would be Randy Credico, to write publicly about all of this. The first person responded, are you sure you want to make something out of this now? Why not wait to see what the other guy does? You may be defending yourself too much. Stone told person two that person two should do a Frank Pantangeli before the House committee in order to avoid contradicting Stone's testimony. Pantangeli, if you remember The Godfather Part Two, is a guy who is going to turn rat on the Corleone family until the Corleone family brings his brother in from Italy, threatens his life, and Pantangeli ends up slitting his wrist in a bathtub. So that is always a smart move, is to text other co-conspirators in lying before the House Intelligence Committee that they should do stuff that will eventually lead to them committing suicide in a bathtub. That's always great. Okay, so is some of this criminal activity? Of course, some of this is criminal activity. When you lie to the House Intelligence Committee, that's criminal activity. You lie to the FBI, that is criminal activity. Does any of this go to the underlying crime? Does any of this suggest that there was a quid pro quo between the Russian government and Trump? No, it doesn't. At best, it suggests interest by Trump in coordinating with WikiLeaks about the release of documents. None of that is necessarily illegal, but it does underscore the political danger for President Trump. Now, Democrats are very jazzed about all of this, and they are moving back toward their original claim that collusion is what swung the election. So James Clapper, who is the head of intelligence under Barack Obama, he says that coordination obviously occurred between the Trump campaign and Russia.
Based on these series of communications that Stone was having with senior Trump campaign officials, often in advance of WikiLeaks releases, emails stolen, we know, by Russia. What does that show to you? Is that evidence, in your view, of coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia?
I think clearly it does show a connection, coordination, synchronization, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, so that's going to be the case that is made. Again, that doesn't mean criminal activity. If Hillary Clinton had been working with the Ukrainian government to release information on Trump, for example, then that would also be the same sort of activity. And just because a lot of people are indicted for lying to the FBI doesn't necessarily mean that there's guilt for a different crime for the president of the United States. However, it is going to contribute to a sense among Democrats that they must show up in 2020 because 2016 was stolen from them, which is something they clearly believe, obviously. Democrats are coming forth and they are saying, that they are afraid that Trump is going to shut down the Mueller investigation. If you have to guess at this point, the Mueller investigation is going to come up with a document that indicts the Trump campaign for colluding with Russia in the broadest possible sense, but without any legal implications. So it'll basically read like a New Yorker report about all the connections between Trump and WikiLeaks, but without any indicator of a quid pro quo that would violate the law or campaign finance regulations. It'll be enough, in other words, for Democrats to complain and get out the vote and raise money, but not enough for them to impeach. Republicans, at that point, many in the base will likely rally around President Trump. None of it is good news for President Trump. However, it's telling that very few Republicans are saying anything about the Roger Stone indictment at the moment, because it does undercut the statement that President Trump has made over and over and over, where he says no collusion. Because it certainly looks like collusion when you have senior members of your campaign coordinating with Roger Stone with regard to the release of WikiLeaks documents. Again, two separate questions, politically damaging and criminal, not exactly the same thing. This is politically damaging to President Trump. It is politically damaging to the Trump White House. It is not, in fact, criminal, and it does not put him in danger of impeachment. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the radicalism of the Democrats with regard to Venezuela, because it is becoming clearer and clearer that too many Democrats are fully in favor of a centralization that ends in massive human suffering.
Laura Ingraham, Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Tom Gresham are only on KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I would be remiss if I did not make one quick note about the Roger Stone indictment. So part of the whole collusion theory is that the Trump campaign at the highest levels was colluding with the Russians, that behind closed doors it was Jared Kushner and Trump, and they were figuring out how to work directly with the Russian government. The Roger Stone indictment does not seem like that. The Roger Stone indictment seems like Roger Stone was off freelancing and then offering information to curious members of the Trump campaign who were then asking him every so often about what he had. That does not seem like Trump calling up Vladimir Putin. So the whole kind of high-level collusion thing, the original theory that Trump was working hand in glove with Vladimir Putin directly, that seems more and more unlikely. And it's worthy of note because I think that's not what you're hearing from a lot of folks. The truth is that incompetence is the order of the day, and incompetence is obvious, much more obvious in the Trump campaign than the sort of malice that originally was supposedly what drove him to victory and collusion with the Russians. Okay, meanwhile, things in Venezuela continue to be absolute garbage. The situation in Venezuela continues to degrade. The military is siding with the dictator Nicolas Maduro, but that is because Maduro has purged the military of anyone who doesn't disagree with anyone who does not agree with him. According to BBC, Juan Guaido, who is the Venezuelan opposition leader, who, by the way, the American Democratic Socialists are not supporting, even though he is a Democratic Socialist, he has now rejected an offer of talks between Maduro amid an ongoing power struggle between the two. Guaido declared himself acting president on Wednesday. Maduro called the move a coup, influenced by the U.S., and cut off diplomatic ties in response. The U.N. Security Council is due to meet on Saturday, but who gives a living? I mean, honestly, who cares what the Security Council has to say? Vladimir Putin and the Russians are very much in favor of the Maduro regime. The international community is split on whether to recognize the government. Maduro is unpopular because, of course, he has turned his government into a garbage heap. The U.S., more than a dozen Latin American countries, Canada, and the U.K. have already backed Guaido after he said he was the legitimate president. Russia has condemned foreign support for Guaido, saying it violates international law and is a direct path to bloodshed. Sergei Lavrov denounced U.S. policy toward Maduro as destructive. As, you know, what is amazing is the same folks who will accuse the Trump administration of colluding with the Russians, the same folks who will say that not during the campaign, during his actual presidency, Trump was a puppet of Putin, a puppet. Those same people are, some of those same people are back massaging Nicolas Maduro, even as Russia backs that guy to the hilt. According to Reuters, Russian military contractors have been flown secretly into the country to provide security for Maduro, which should tell you everything you need to know about Maduro. According to Reuters, a third source close to the Russian contractors told Reuters there was a contingent of them already in Venezuela. Could not say when they arrived or what their role was. Russia has backed Maduro's socialist government to the tune of billions of dollars, and they promised to stand by him after Juan Guaido declared himself president with Washington's endorsement. Apparently, they're a bunch of small paramilitary groups, Russian in nature, backed by the Russian government. Not only that, the Cuban government is backing Maduro. So there are a couple of editorials in the New York Times the last couple of days talking about on the 60th anniversary of the Cuban Revolution, why we should open our arms to Cuba, why we shouldn't see the Cuban government in a malign light, why we should see that they're ready to open up. The Cuban government is probably one of the chief reasons Maduro is still in power in Venezuela. According to sources, the Cubans, a bunch of Cuban officials, set off in two chartered aircraft for Havana, Cuba, from where they transferred onto regular commercial flights to Venezuela. The Cuban government did not immediately respond to a request for comment, so Cuba is being used as the connection for Russia and Venezuela. Russian contractors are flying it through Cuba to get to Venezuela. The contractor's task in Venezuela was to protect Maduro from any attempts by opposition sympathizers and his own security forces to detain him. So they're afraid that the military might turn on Maduro. Venezuelan authorities said they put down an attempted revolt on Monday by rogue military officers about a kilometer from the presidential palace in Caracas, which is the capital of Venezuela. Maduro only takes to the streets in carefully controlled situations since crowds have surrounded him in the past. He actually was releasing earlier today video of himself amid thrilled crowds. The only problem is that the video is 5 years old. And you know that the video is 5 years old because there's actual information that people in the video have been dead for like 3 years. So things are going great for Maduro. The Russians continue to back him. The Cubans continue to back him. But pretty much nobody else except for the socialist members of the Democratic Party in Congress. Right? Those people, they are fine with all of this. So Ilhan Omar, who is just a radical, who now sits on the national, who sits on the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House. Thank you, Democrats. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. Ilhan Omar, one of the fresh faces, so fresh, so face of the Democratic Party. She says, if we really want to support the Venezuelan people, we can lift the economic sanctions that are inflicting suffering on innocent families, making it harder for them to access food and medicines, and deepening the economic crisis. We should support dialogue, not a coup. Yes, I'm sure that we should support dialogue with the military dictator who has ended free elections in his country and killed his opponents. She says, we cannot pick leaders for other countries on behalf of multinational corporate interests. I love the idea that multinational corporate interests are what dictate all of this. There's a popular uprising happening right this very instant in Venezuela, and Ilhan Omar says it's all about ExxonMobil. She says the legislature cannot seize power from the president, and Venezuela's Supreme Court has declared their action as unconstitutional. It is absurd. Just on a democratic level, the legislature is in a free battle with the judiciary, which has been set up by Maduro. Maduro seized a bunch of power from the legislature, made it a completely adjunct organization. They're just a vestigial organization of Venezuelan government. When they say, we're going to take back our constitutional power, then Ilhan Omar is very upset about it. She says, we can't afford to get involved in costly interventions abroad when tens of millions struggle to access housing, healthcare, and clean water right here at home. U.S. meddling abroad always ends badly for us and the people we claim to be liberating. Really? Always? Germany, Japan, South Korea, Vietnam until we pulled out, Iraq until we pulled out. It always ends badly for the people we're liberating? Always? Very weird. Very weird. And then she suggests, of course, we should end the sanctions. What I love about, and then she actually starts retweeting things from a commentator for RT. Rania Kalik is a commentator for Russia Today. And she tweeted out, this is the best and most detailed statement I've seen so far from a Democrat on Venezuela. Ilhan, as well as her other colleagues who spoke out, should be commended for opposing Trump's coup attempt. This will surely provoke malicious attacks from the pro-war crowd. Very brave. So Ilhan Omar tweeted out this tweet with a picture of a brown fist because she is a fresh face of the Democratic Party. This would be a woman, the Rania Kalik, is a woman who has worked directly for the governments of Russia and Qatar. Don't worry. Ilhan Omar is not a puppet. No puppet. The only puppet are the people who have dual loyalties to Israel. Today, that foreign-funded propagandist, according to Jordan Schachtel, who is a commentator over for CR and Blaze TV, that propagandist spends most of her time shilling for Hezbollah and the Assad regime. Earlier, Representative Omar retweeted Abby Martin, a Maduro and Kremlin-backed journalist, fake journalist. This is the new fresh faces of the Democratic Party. By the way, the lie that the sanctions are what have caused all of this is just, it's not true. Venezuela's had a collapsing economy for years and years and years before the sanctions really took effect. And that is because, again, you cannot nationalize all industry and set up amazingly high trade barriers and destroy the incentive to work and not destroy your economy at the same time. The New York Times is reporting in April of 2012 that Venezuelan food shortages were being caused by price and wage controls in Venezuela. It turns out that leftist centralized planning does not work. According to that piece in 2012, this is when Hugo Chavez was alive. Hugo Chavez blames capitalism, of course, but it's not capitalism. Economists call it a classic case of a government causing a problem rather than solving it. Prices are set so low, they say, that companies and producers cannot make a profit. So farmers grow less food. Manufacturers cut back production. Retailers stock less inventory. Moreover, some of the shortages are in industries like dairy and coffee, where the government has seized private companies and is now running them, saying it is in the national interest. In January 2012, according to a scarcity index compiled by the Central Bank of Venezuela, the difficulty of finding basic goods on store shelves was at its worst level since 2008. Apparently, powdered milk could not be found in 42% of stores. Liquid milk was even harder to find at the time. This was not the sanctions. This was horrible governance. All of the democratic socialists ought to be made to explain why it is that democratic socialism has failed once again. By the way, they will also cite China and suggest that China is a wonderful example of how state socialism can work. We'll talk about China in just one second. First, let's talk about your bathroom habits. So you need better stuff in your bathroom. You can't go to the store and pick up whatever is there on the shelf. It's just not good enough for you. Not you. You're too good for that. You need Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club has everything I need to look, feel, smell my best. What I love even more is the fact I never have to go to a store. That's because, number one, DSC delivers everything I need directly to my door, and two, they keep me fully stocked on what I use so I don't run out. Here's how it works. Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to get ready, no matter what you're getting ready for. They've got you covered head to toe. We're talking hair, skin, face, you name it. They've got it. They have a new product program where they automatically keep you stocked up on the products you use. Surprise you for their Amber Lavender Body Cleanse. That is calming. They call it calming and soothing. You may have noticed I am not a calm, soothing person, but I do like bathing with the calm, soothing products of Dollar Shave Club. Right now, they've got a bunch of starter sets you can try for just $5, like their oral care kit. After that, the restock box ships regular size products at regular price. So what exactly are you waiting for? Get your starter set for just $5 right now at dollarshaveclub.com/Ben. That is dollarshaveclub.com/Ben. Go check that out right now, this very instant. Okay, so what you're constantly hearing from the left, there are a variety of countries they like to cite. So for a while it was Venezuela. Now Venezuela is a thing of the past. Now they cite China sometimes. It turns out that China's economy is failing as well. Good piece in the New York Post by Stephen Mosher. Stephen Mosher is the president of the Population Research Institute. And he talks about the problems that China's having economically. He says, ignore the laughable claim of the National Bureau of Statistics that China's economy is still growing at 6.5% year over year. No one believes this, least of all that country's increasingly embattled business owners. They know firsthand that China's economy is not only in recession, but that it is contracting across all sectors, from manufacturing to retail to autos to real estate, and that's the Communist Party, not Donald Trump. Accurate data is hard to come by, of course, since the party blocks economic data, but occasionally there's a crack in the Great Firewall and a sliver of truth escapes. One such sliver was the remarkably courageous presentation of Professor Zhang Songzhu at the Renmin University School of Finance on December 15th. Not mincing words, he kicked off his talk with the question, just how bad are things? He says an internal report completed yesterday produced two estimates of China's real GDP growth. The first set of assumptions produced an annual estimated growth rate of 1.67%. That figure, though positive, is low enough to suggest China has fallen into recession. The second estimate of year-over-year growth shows that it was negative. The professor himself remains in circulation, but we'll see how long that lasts. Most analysts viewing China from the outside in blame Trump's tariffs for their economic woes, but a closer look at China's internal policies makes it clear. The problems with investor and consumer confidence that are boiling over have been gestating for quite a while. President Xi Jinping has repeatedly promised to respect private property and allow private businesses to flourish, but he has not, in fact, done that. He has not only crushed competing political factions within the party and the government, he has extended party controls to the larger society, including into private companies. Every company in China with more than 50 employees is required to have a Communist Party branch. Most companies of any size are required to have a Communist Party representative sitting on the board of directors. President Xi has given state-owned enterprises all kinds of preferential treatment, including a virtually unlimited line of credit. Smaller privately held companies are being squeezed out. Business owners understand that they can't compete against the government. Private sector confidence is waning. China's 40 years of reform and opening up are now essentially over, according to this columnist, and China's economy is dying because of it. That should not be a surprise. Command and control economies always die. It is just a matter of how long they last. They last as long as they allow capitalism to exist. The minute they move full scale against capitalism, they collapse. And there's a sliding scale of socialism that runs from the Nordic countries on the less socialist side to Venezuela and China on the more socialist side. And the closer you get to more socialism, the worse the country gets. In just a second, I want to talk about Hollywood turning a blind eye to some of the most evil activity I've ever heard of. First, we need to talk about your coffee. So it's getting late in the day. You may need a boost. Well, if you're looking for a boost, Black Rifle Coffee is the place to get it. Not only do they have the caffeine you need, they also have the best tasting coffee on the market. Coffee is an American institution, and that's why I like to reach for the most American coffee on the market, Black Rifle Coffee. Black Rifle Coffee is delicious. The folks behind Black Rifle Coffee are not PC. They do not cave to PC demands. Black Rifle Coffee gives a portion of their sales to veteran and first responder causes as well. Black Rifle Coffee is roast to order, guaranteeing you fresh, delicious coffee with every single order. Black Rifle's Coffee Club, they make things easy. You just pick your blend and the amount you want. Black Rifle ships your coffee direct to your door every month hassle-free. Wake up with America's coffee. That's Black Rifle Coffee. Visit them at blackriflecoffee.com/Ben. Receive 15% off your order today. That is blackriflecoffee.com/Ben. Again, percentage of your sales going to first responders and veterans. So really you're doing something great. blackriflecoffee.com/Ben for 15% off. That is blackriflecoffee.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Okay, in just a minute, I want to discuss how Hollywood for years turned a blind eye to the allegations against Bryan Singer, the director of the Oscar-nominated film about the band Queen. I also want to talk about a shocking new report about Michael Jackson. We'll get to all of it. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to bestwaternow.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE, 1-888-973-WAVE, or go to bestwaternow.com. That's bestwaternow.com.
Wave Home Solutions.
This is the Savage Nation.
The ideas that I've been writing about for years, whether or not he believed them or not, is irrelevant. Like all politicians, he ran with the best ideas. In fact, I was told this by the man who helped create his campaign. Okay, leave it at that. He said, Dr. Savage, we all love you. You are the architect of his campaign and his victory, and we all know it. We thank you for it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Yeah, it is amazing. The folks in Hollywood wish us to believe that they are our moral betters. And every Oscar season, they put out a bunch of movies showing how tolerant and wonderful and diverse they are. And then we get an Oscar ceremony in which they explain to us how we, the crude rednecks from Middle America, I'm not even from Middle America, and I'm an Orthodox Jew, so it doesn't even work for me. But I'm one of you in terms of how Hollywood views all of this. And when I say you, I mean anyone who's conservative. Anyone who is conservative, anyone who has ever seen a person who wears a MAGA hat non-ironically, right? Anyone who is those people are the fools and the simpletons. Anyone religious, fool and a simpleton. Hollywood knows better. Hollywood knows morality, which, of course, is why they have covered for rapists and child molesters for legitimately years on end. Okay, the latest example of this is Alex French, Maximilian Potter. They have a piece in The Atlantic. What's amazing about this piece, about Bryan Singer, he is the director of Bohemian Rhapsody and a couple of the X-Men movies, I believe. And it has long been rumored in Hollywood, I mean, for a long time, that he was an alleged child molester, that he went after boys, that he went after young boys, not like seven-year-olds, but like young teenagers, in the same way that Kevin Spacey did. This story was vetted fully, all the way down, by the Daily Beast. It was vetted all the way down to the ground, and then they just decided that they weren't going to run it. They just decided they weren't going to run it, apparently. That was the allegation. And then The Atlantic finally got a hold of it, and then they ran it. But here is what the story finds. What the story says is that Bryan Singer has been accused a bajillion times of molesting kids who are under the age of 18. On December 7th, 2017, 3 days after The Hollywood Reporter broke the news of Bryan Singer being fired from Bohemian Rhapsody, a Seattle man named Cesar Sanchez Guzman filed a lawsuit against the director alleging that Singer had raped him in 2003 when Sanchez Guzman was 17. The day after that, Deadline Hollywood published an interview with a former boyfriend of Singer's, Brett Tyler Skopik, in which Skopik described a lifestyle of drugs and orgies. According to multiple sources, Fox had no idea that the Sanchez Guzman lawsuit was coming when the studio fired Singer. Still, his claims should not have been much of a surprise. Almost from the moment his star began to rise, Singer, who's now 53, has been trailed by allegations of sexual misconduct. Those allegations are so well known that 4,000 students, faculty member, and alumni at the University of Southern California had signed a petition asking the school to take Singer's name off one of its programs, the Bryan Singer Division of Cinema and Media Studies, which the school actually did after all this came out. According to The Atlantic, we spent 12 months investigating various lawsuits and allegations against Singer. In total, we spoke with more than 50 sources, including four men who have never before told their stories to reporters. A man we'll call Eric told us that he was 17 in 1997 when he and Singer had sex at a party at the director's house. Another we'll call Andy says he was only 15 that same year when he and Singer had sex in a Beverly Hills mansion. Both men say Singer, who was then in his early 30s, knew they were under 18, the age of consent in California. The accusations against Singer cover a spectrum. Some of the alleged victims say they were seduced by the director while underage. Others say they were raped. The victims we interviewed told us these experiences left them psychologically damaged with substance abuse problems, depression, and PTSD. Okay, so all of this went unremarked upon by Hollywood for years and years and years. He kept getting very big contracts over and over and over again. Really quite terrible. Okay, there are allegations going back legitimately decades. And then there are the allegations that are now being aired about Michael Jackson. So according to the UK Sun, Michael Jackson exchanged rings with a 9-year-old child bride in a creepy mock wedding ceremony at the Neverland Ranch, explosive court documents claim. A lawsuit filed on behalf of Jacko accuser James Safechuck claims his father was then paid $1 million in hush money after the secret union at his Californian mansion. The 2015 civil action was filed by Safechuck and another alleged victim, Wade Robson, both of whom are taking part in a new documentary film, Leaving Neverland. According to the pair's lawyers, Jackson shelled out nearly $200 million to around 20 alleged victims. The eccentric singer did cut a check for £23 million, British, to silence the family of his first public accuser, Jordan Chandler, in the early 1990s. Apparently, the court's documents claim that Jackson's mother, Catherine, demanded to know the details of the alleged abuse carried out by her son against Safechuck. She allegedly asked her son, "Did something happen between you and Michael? Are you okay?" Jackson regularly dressed James in clothes identical to his and would tell reporters the child was his cousin. Safechuck's attorney said Jackson was successful in his efforts to the point that my client endured repeated acts of sexual abuse of a heinous nature and was brainwashed into believing they were acts of love and instigated by James himself. It's amazing that Michael Jackson's legacy has continued to survive all of this. It's demonstrative of the fact that for human beings, if you like somebody's art, you're more likely to tolerate their garbage. But it is also true that Hollywood routinely tolerates perversity and has for decades. The Harvey Weinstein thing is not an exception. The Harvey Weinstein thing is a very strong undercurrent in Hollywood, and it always has been. And it's only become an issue now for political reasons. It should have been an issue always. And yet, we're going to hear Hollywood lecture us at the Oscars about how they are at the bleeding edge of moral decency, which should sicken us all. These folks have no absolute moral standards. They're willing to abandon those absolute moral standards for a part or for a successful movie or for a little more cash. It's funny, people will talk about various religious institutions that care more about...
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump signed a bill that temporarily reopens the federal government for 3 weeks. So what's next?
A conference committee made up of an equal number of Republicans and Democrats has until February 15th to work out a deal that the president will sign. Republicans will push for money for a border wall. Democrats have pledged to negotiate in good faith, but they'll try to prevent any border security money from being spent on a wall. If they can't reach an agreement, we could face another shutdown, or the president could declare a national emergency and use his presidential powers to bypass Congress.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says a veteran diplomat, Elliot Abrams, will lead the U.S. response to the political crisis and leadership challenge in Venezuela.
Consistent with Venezuela's constitution and with the support of the Venezuelan people and the National Assembly, Juan Guaido has declared himself the interim president of Venezuela. These are just the first step on Venezuela's road to liberty. Elliot will be a true asset to our mission to help the Venezuelan people fully restore democracy and prosperity to their country.
The United States and several other Latin American countries recognizes Juan Guaido as the new president of Venezuela, in place of Nicolas Maduro, who still clings to power. The trial of a drug company founder accused of scheming to bribe doctors into prescribing a powerful painkiller is putting a spotlight on the deadly opioid crisis.
Insys Therapeutics founder John Kapoor has said he committed no crimes and believes he'll be vindicated at trial, which begins Monday in Boston's federal court. Kapoor and other former Insys employees are accused of conspiring to pay doctors bribes and kickbacks that were disguised as fees for speaking events. Kapoor's lawyers have blasted prosecutors for trying to tie the company to the drug abuse crisis.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The three-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When picking a phone number for business, what sounds more professional? Your personal number?
Hold on, let me give you my cell. And actually, let me get yours too, just so I don't ignore your call, you know?
Or a dedicated business number, courtesy of Grasshopper.
It was a pleasure meeting you. Our number is 1-833-IT-TROOP. Give us a call anytime.
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
A new head of Taliban of the Taliban's political office has been appointed at its base in Qatar. as the group negotiates with the United States over ending the 17-year-old Afghan war.
Abdul Ghani Baradar, a senior Taliban military commander, was arrested in Pakistan in 2010 and released in October 2018. His release is believed to have been arranged by the United States as part of the negotiations, and his presence could reassure battlefield commanders who may fear concessions by the political leadership. U.S. Envoy Zalmay Khalilzad has met with the Taliban on a number of occasions in recent months in the latest bid to end America's longest war. The U.S. State Department has neither denied nor confirmed previous meetings with the Taliban, but Khalilzad says he has met with all sides in the conflict. I'm Karen Chamas.
Fully a quarter of U.S. jobs are at risk of robot automation over the coming few years, according to a new report by the Brookings Institution. About 36 million Americans hold jobs that can be mostly performed by machines. News and analysis at townhall.com. Family physician Dr. Charles Snyderman talks about cystic fibrosis, the most common genetic disease in the U.S. population.
About 30,000 Americans have cystic fibrosis, CF. Mucus production is controlled by a gene that makes it abnormally thick, affecting respiratory, digestive, and reproductive systems. The discovery of the CFTR gene has led to some innovative drugs which may prevent much of the damage that the thick mucus causes. The Cystic Fibrosis Foundation is a good resource, www.cff.org. Charles Snyderman, Washington.
Stocks closed higher on Wall Street Friday, recovering a chunk of their losses from earlier in the week. Technology and industrial companies jumped. Traders took a brighter view on the economy, and U.S. companies continue to report solid results for the fourth quarter. Energy and consumer-focused companies, as well as basic materials makers, all did better than the broader market. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
Christian students who attend public schools should be knowledgeable about their legal rights to share their testimony and the good news of Jesus Christ. Pacific Justice Institute has prepared a valuable resource for you. Go to pji.org and download our free ebook titled Reclaim Your School.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
You know, I don't know if this whole thing could get more corrupt. I don't know if it could stink more, if it could get slimier. I guess it could. They could have a CNN anchor go into Roger Stone's house and put the cuffs on him. Well, they beat his wife with nightsticks.
This is just remarkable. It's just remarkable to watch, you know, what they call... Okay, that's an FBI. Open the door. And now they're about to say another warning.
Look, they even know what they're going to say in advance.
FBI warrant.
It's a little coordination.
This is called, you know, the grab shot.
It's called the grab shot.
And it is remarkable to watch this all unfold.
It's not called the grab shot. I think a grab shot is what Harvey Weinstein liked to do in kitchens. What Kevin Spacey liked to do with little boys. What Bill Clinton used to do in the Oval Office. He'd be back there doing it again if only his wife hadn't lost the presidential election to Donald Trump. Now she's at home waking up again face down in a pool of her own vomit on the kitchen floor in one of their many multi-million dollar mansions, surrounded by big strong armed men with guns. Oh boy, the fun never stops. We're getting our money's worth out of the government these days, aren't we? Who needs Bravo TV?
when we have, what do we call them now? What are they called? They're called, news organizations. That's right. Journalists. I think that's what we're talking about. Good morning, and welcome unto you and everyone else. Listen, big news this morning, the Mueller probe and the FBI, it's a probe, it's an ever-expanding probe, it's sneaking up on us. The Mueller probe has borne some fruit. Another piece of fruit has been ripped from the tree, and his name is Robert. His name is Roger Stone, and I think he's, what is he, 66 years old? I think he's 66 years old, and he knew President Trump, and now he's been placed under arrest in a, after a pre-dawn FBI raid, a morning raid by a busload of heavily armed, bristling with those assault weapons that liberals want to ban, except in the hands of the government. They're happy to have in the hands of the state, as long as the state is, because, you know, they agree with Mao that all power essentially comes from the barrel of a gun, as Obama administration official Ron Blum famously said. And, you know, Anita Dunn, she loves Chairman Mao, too. And speaking of the Democrats, you see, Bill de Blasio, the big bird there in New York, he's sounding like Karl Marx yesterday. You see him? You see this thing? You see what he said yesterday? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knows there's a lot of money in the country, and there's a lot of money in the world, but he's figured it out. He's got, I'm tapping my right temple with the tip of my right index finger again. He's figured it out. There's plenty of money. It's just in the wrong hands. See, this is, isn't that, what's the name of the bank robber, the Willie Sutton, is that what it was, who said, you know, why do you rob banks? He said, because that's where the money is. See, the Democrat Party has the same philosophy. They'll just go steal. They won't earn money. They won't become successful. They'll create a mob. They'll create this mob so they can become elected. Once they're elected, they'll use the state barrel of a gun to steal money from everybody. It's so much easier than doing the work yourself, isn't it? Because, you know, to do it yourself, you have to be clever, you have to be smart, you have to have original thoughts, you have to have ideas, you have to get up early and execute them, you have to work all day, work late, ignore the kids when the soapbox derby comes around in Boy Scouts, sorry, that's Cub Scouts, and you have to ignore all the, you know, the championship games and the dance-a-thons because you're busy working, you're building your business. And then Bill de Blasio comes along and said, that guy's got the money, and a mob chases you down the street like a Marx Brothers movie, and they shake you, grab you by the ankles and turn you upside down and shake you until the money falls out of your pocket and say, see, I told you this is where the money is. Because that's today's Democrat Party. They're kind of a combination of Joseph Stalin and Karl Marx and Charles Manson and of course, Kermit Gosnell. They're a fine melding of all of these excellent things. Now the lynch mob is out, and all the Dems and all the libs, they're thrilled. Hey, we got another guy on seven charges. We got a guy on seven charges. We're going to get him. We're going to put him in jail. You know, the left all over the world, they love to put their enemies in jail. Now, what exactly did they get Roger Stone for? Is it colluding with Russia? Well, no. Is Russia mentioned in the indictment? Well, no. Is collusion mentioned in the indictment? No. It's not really. They arrested him. What's it about then? Well, here's the thing. It's Roger Stone had committed no crime before Robert Mueller started investigating him. No crime had been committed. But they rousted him. They dragged him before Congress. They asked him 10,000 questions. They asked him 50 different ways. They brought him back in to interrogate him again. They found inconsistencies in certain phrases having to do with conversations that he may or may not have had with WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks, of course, was dumping these piles of things out to newspapers after securing these things. And there's another little, just a little aside here. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but this is a fact, not a conspiracy. There's a young man who was murdered, a DNC employee in Washington, D.C., and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but a young man who was murdered in Washington, D.C., out on the street one night, shot to death, and he was Seth Rich. He was shot to death in the middle of the night, not robbed. His watch wasn't taken. His cell phone wasn't taken. Money in his pocket wasn't taken. He was essentially just murdered, apparently, for no particular reason at all. And then Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, this DNC employee, is murdered, not robbed, late at night near his house, shot to death. No suspects, no leads, no nothing. And Julian Assange offered $25,000 for information leading to an arrest and conviction in the case of Seth Rich. Now, that's just sort of an outlier out there, but there it is. And it's worth mentioning every now and then because Seth Rich is still dead and there are still no suspects. And Julian Assange of WikiLeaks is still offering a $25,000 reward for information leading to. OK, but I digress. So Roger Stone was allegedly, and this is what the indictment alleges, there are seven counts, and these seven counts are fascinating for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that there is no mention of Russia or Russian collusion. Let me just go to the let's go to some of the corrupt news media's typing on this. Here's CNN speaking of corrupt news media type, and here's another funny thing here. The raid. Now let me. There are a couple of funny things. The FBI could have called Roger Stone's lawyer and said, we'd like Roger Stone to turn himself in this afternoon and at this address at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And that would be kind of normal under these circumstances. He's not El Chapo. He's not an organized crime figure. He's not accused of any violence of any kind. He is accused of talking to WikiLeaks during a presidential campaign. And then he's accused of not being entirely straightforward, and that's really about it, when asked about contacts with WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks got a hold of DNC emails. We don't know how WikiLeaks got a hold of DNC emails. There are some that say the Russians gave WikiLeaks the DNC emails because the Russians hacked them and then gave them to WikiLeaks to be their conduit for release. Now, that's never made any sense to me. And it doesn't make any sense because the Russians would want to carefully control the selected release and the timing of the release rather than just giving the whole trove to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks so they can release them at their discretion. How does that make sense? That doesn't make any sense at all. If the Russians had them, gave the trove to WikiLeaks, then the Russians would still be dropping these breadcrumbs along the way to cause chaos. They'd leak them to their friends at the New York Times, who are fellow travelers in so many instances. They would use them because they still had them to cause chaos. But instead, only Julian Assange and WikiLeaks had them. The suspicion was that perhaps Seth Rich was the leaker from inside the DNC. He was murdered. There are no leads. There are no suspects. And he was not robbed. And there's a reward offered by WikiLeaks. Just saying, okay, because it is a part of this discussion. It ought to remain a part of the discussion. Young man was shot to death in the street. And if the Russians gave them to WikiLeaks, then presumably they'd give the original copies and not keep any themselves, and they would still be able to selectively leak the stuff. We haven't seen any of that. So I find that whole storyline to be a bit suspect. When WikiLeaks was dropping these caches, these troves of DNC and other emails, everybody was trying to get ahead of WikiLeaks. The New York Times, the CNN, well, maybe not CNN, they're too stupid to try to get out in front of a story and actually report on something, but a lot of people were trying to get out in front of the WikiLeaks email dumps. And according to the indictment, someone in the Trump campaign asked Roger Stone, not technically with the Trump campaign, to contact WikiLeaks and see what they had learned about, maybe get out in front of the WikiLeaks dump of DNC emails. Maybe get a hold of some of this stuff, too, because that would be what they call opposition research. Opposition research like the Steele dossier, that's opposition research. And Roger Stone was asked to see if he could get any information on that. He apparently was unsuccessful in trying to get a hold of information from WikiLeaks, trying to get ahead of the WikiLeaks dumps, maybe trying to get an exclusive, get ahead, get him a day before WikiLeaks dumps him so they can be prepared ahead of time. I promise you other politicians around Washington and other campaigns were doing exactly the same thing, news organizations doing exactly the same thing, trying to get out in front of the WikiLeaks document dumps, the email dumps, okay? And then Roger Stone and the indictment says that he lied. Now we'll get into the thing. CNN, Roger Stone indicted on charges brought by special counsel. Now, CNN was in the tent on this operation, apparently. CNN had a camera or someone that gave their video to CNN. They say it's an exclusive. Someone was tipped off, apparently, to be outside of Roger Stone's home in Florida before the sun came up so that they could be pre-positioned. And when the busload of FBI guys dressed like they're going into an Al-Qaeda raid in Fallujah, they had the Stage 3 body armor and helmets and M4 rifles, and they're outfitted like they're going into El Chapo's headquarters, because this 60-something-year-old gray-haired politico who is accused of not being 100% truthful about conversations with WikiLeaks was a threat, apparently, to the arresting officers. This is all show business. This is BS. And CNN was called in to document it for the FBI. Somebody in the FBI or Mueller's office tipped off CNN. Why CNN? Well, CNN is a Democrat-friendly network. They're in cahoots with the Democrats all day, every day, to advance the Democrat Party's agenda. There's CNN outside of Roger Stone's home for the rough-and-tumble El Chapo-style FBI heavy, up-armored raid. Now, keep in mind, this is what they did to Paul Manafort, too, who's, I think, a 69-year-old man. He was living in Virginia. Pre-dawn raid, gun in his wife's mouth, beat her nearly to death. I just made up that part, but, you know, might as well. It's like the CNN reporting on the Catholic school kids. And then I tell you that I'm just kidding when I'm kidding, whereas they don't, CNN and NBC and the Washington Post and the rest. Now, at the same time, you got to keep in mind that the same investigators, not the Mueller people, but the FBI investigators and so on, investigating Hillary Clinton and the private server and classified emails, and Cheryl Mills, the chief of staff, lying about it, Huma Wiener lying about it, no pre-dawn raids, no indictments, no warrants, no charges. Everybody is having a nice Starbucks this morning on the Hillary side of the fence, because even though they lied, and they lied. They lied when they were talking to the FBI. They lied talking to Congress. And interestingly, the Hillary people all walk away scot-free, as they say, scot-free. And I marvel at what passes for law enforcement, and I become more and more disenchanted, unimpressed, disappointed, disillusioned with the FBI and the Justice Department. As this process continues, I'm less and less happy to be an American, to live in a country where I grew up believing that Americans enjoy due process. I'm not so sure that we really do anymore. I think that when they catch you in these snares, as they do, there's a lot of corruption here. Roger Stone, CNN types, along with their friends at the Mueller investigation and the FBI, who tipped him off ahead of time to pre-position for the big event. Roger Stone has been indicted by a grand jury on charges brought by special counsel Robert Mueller, who alleges the longtime Donald Trump associate sought stolen emails from WikiLeaks that could damage Trump's opponent at the direction of, quote, a senior Trump campaign official. There's nothing illegal about seeking emails from WikiLeaks. Everybody was doing it. And if that's illegal, then arrest me. I would have taken the emails in advance, and so would the New York Times. The indictment's wording does not say who on the campaign knew about Stone's quest. It's a quest. But makes it clear it was multiple people. Hey, you think you can get anything on those WikiLeaks things? That'd be helpful. This is the friend. Again, they hired these Russians. Christopher Steele hired Russians. Fusion GPS hired Christopher Steele. Perkins Coie hired Fusion GPS. They got their information from Russians. It was opposition research. They were colluding with the Russians. The Clinton campaign was. They destroyed 33,000 emails. They destroyed communications devices belonging to the campaign after the Congress had told them that they wanted the documents. There are all kinds of laws broken by the Clinton people, and yet no arrests. And they have charged him with 7 counts. I've run out the clock here. 7 counts, and I'm going to get into those. They are really kind of embarrassing. Oh, no, he was talking to WikiLeaks. Is WikiLeaks Russia? No, they got their stuff from Russia. WikiLeaks has very explicitly, Assange on camera, repeatedly said they did not get the emails from Russia. Whether you can believe him or not is a separate issue. And the rest of the charges are process charges. Had Roger Stone committed any crimes before the Mueller investigation began? Coming up.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit identifyepi.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
Get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
Wes worked hard to make his dream of playing in the NHL come true. Every day, he'd be out playing street hockey constantly. Townspeople would drive by and shout,
"Get out of the street!"
But Wes never gave up. Well, until one day when someone yelled,
"Get in the car, you're going to make us all late to work!"
Because Wes was a 43-year-old accountant and he commuted with that guy downtown. So Wes never played in the NHL. But he did hear how Geico, proud partner of the NHL, could save him money on car insurance. So he switched and saved and made his other dream come true.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
I'm going to lie to the FBI right now. Hey, FBI, I think you guys are doing a great job. I think you're really a trustworthy law enforcement organization, and James Comey was a great leader. And I've just committed a crime. I've just broken the law. See that? Lying to the FBI. Hey, FBI, I have the utmost confidence in you to do the right thing. That's literally a violation of the law. I just said I'm talking to the FBI. So they should come batter the door down and come in with the shock troops and drag me away, since we're becoming George Orwell's nightmare anyway. Here's the big charge. Listen to this from the indictment. During the summer of 2016, middle of the presidential campaign, Roger Stone spoke to a senior Trump campaign official, or senior Trump campaign officials, plural, about Organization One. Organization One is WikiLeaks. And information it might have had that would be damaging to the Clinton campaign. Yep, you know, the Clinton campaign was trying to find that out, too. As was the New York Times, as were legitimate news organizations. CNN wasn't looking into it. Stone was contacted by a senior Trump campaign official to inquire about future releases by the organization. Yeah, everybody was curious about that. Next.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. We are living in a prophetic time when the insolent will rule and the morally corrupt will make the laws of the land. The young, who have not been taught right from wrong and whose minds have been poisoned, will lead those who are being deceived. People will sink into despair and the eyes of their understanding will remain blind to the only way of escape. Only through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ will they find the peace they are seeking. It's vital you attend a church that will help you learn how to apply God's Word in your everyday life while living in this world. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 96003.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 Health Grades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. What shall we do about them? Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR. KCNR Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
This is just remarkable. It's just remarkable to watch, you know, what they call... That's an FBI open door. And now they're about to say another warning. FBI warrant. This is called, you know, the grab shot in the vernacular. And it is remarkable to watch this all unfold.
It's not called the grab shot in the vernacular, whatever vernacular she's referring to. Allison Camerota on CNN embarrassing herself as she does on a daily basis. I'm marveling at what we're watching here as Americans. Again, this is not an El Chapo raid. This is not, you know, Paul Castellano's house they're storming here. This is a guy who's accused of what is it he's accused of? Trying to find out when WikiLeaks was going to come up with more stuff, which everyone was trying to find out. And they're very excited, the news media, the phony, corrupt news media that hates Catholics and children and people and humans and the truth and America, too. And there it is. The summer of 2016, Stone spoke to senior Trump campaign officials. They think one of them was Bannon. Oh, no, Bannon, not Bannon. Oh, Race Bannon? Was it Race Bannon? Organization One. That's a secret. It says Organization One. They don't say WikiLeaks because it's a secret. And then they tell the press that Organization One is WikiLeaks. So it's just this ridiculous sort of Stalinist game that they're playing. And information it might have had, that would be damaging to the Clinton campaign. That's called opposition research. Again, the Clinton campaign had hired people, spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to get information that would be damaging to the Trump campaign. That's called politics. Now, if we're going to criminalize basic politics, hey, these guys have stuff on the Democrats. Can you find out what they have? Oh, now you're going to jail. Oh, Sieg Heil. Sieg Heil, boys. Honestly, I grew up loving the FBI, admiring the FBI. Talked about it recently with a retired FBI agent on the radio program here. Jimmy Stewart and the FBI story. Come on. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. That's been a Quinn Martin production. The FBI. Dun, 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 dun. Come on. It's great stuff. Now I feel like we live in the Soviet flippin' Union. And these people, and the commies. Well, I've got some audio of these Democrat commies today, too. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. Roger Stone, then, this is the additional. In addition to trying to get opposition research, which is perfectly legitimate and legal. And you know who else was trying to get the information from WikiLeaks and get the lead on the emails and stuff? The New York Times. You should go arrest the New York Times. There should be a pre-dawn raid on the New York Times with jackbooted thugs. And I know it's not the fault of the agents going through the doors. This is the deal. But some higher up ordered them. Oh, no, we're going in full blown like we did with Manafort. We're going after them. We're going guns blazing. We're going to beat people with rifle butts. We're taking them down. We're getting whitey. I don't know if they're getting whitey or what their deal is. But. And then the indictment says Roger Stone, quote, A, made multiple false statements to HPSCI, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. I'm glad I can decipher Washington speak because it's not explained here. About his interactions regarding Organization One. Again, we're pretending that we don't know what it is. It's WikiLeaks. So they say that before a House committee that he made multiple, and this is the Republican committee, that he made multiple false statements regarding WikiLeaks. Okay, where's the Russian collusion again? Where's the campaign? Because now he's colluding with WikiLeaks. Every news organization in America and many outside of America were also trying to get WikiLeaks stuff. And falsely denied possessing records that contained evidence of these interactions. That means he had emails, and in some of the emails, they went and, beat up his dog, and they killed his goldfish, and they got his computer records. And he said, no, we didn't email about that. And they're like, aha, we found email. Out of the 46,000 emails in your computer, we found two where you talked about WikiLeaks. You're going to prison, mister. Again, we're still talking about WikiLeaks and not Russian collusion. We're talking about releasing DNC emails that had been gleeped because their server wasn't secure, even though the FBI went to the campaign and said, you know, your server's not secure. And they said, bug off. You know, don't you know who we are? And so they bugged off. They went to the Republican campaigns and they said, you know, you could be hackers. And they said, oh, what kind of help can you give us? And they accepted the help suggested by the FBI. B, he attempted to persuade a witness to provide false testimony. That's very nebulous. That's and we don't know what it is. In or around June and July of 2016, you want to keep it loose. Don't want to get pinned down on details when you're prosecuting, you know, people eligible for Social Security that you're going to throw in prison. Stone informed senior Trump campaign officials that he had information indicating, I'm going to stop saying Organization One and just say WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks had documents whose release would be damaging to the Clinton campaign. We all knew that. Everybody knew that. I knew that. In June or July of 2016, I knew that. The head of Organization One was located in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Oh, my God, is that WikiLeaks? Why are you still calling it Organization One? Why do you have to be weasels when you can just say what it is? On or about October 7th, 2016, Organization One again, they just said who it is. It's WikiLeaks. Released the first set of emails stolen from the Clinton campaign chairman. With the open, unsecured email. And, by the way, they had all those classified emails on there, thousands of them. And nobody was prosecuted for the trafficking, and they stripped the classifications off them and emailed them back and forth. And nobody got charged for anything. It's really great to be a Democrat. It's really, it's like being a member of the Politburo. You're protected from the apparatchiks in the secret police apparatus. Just great stuff. Shortly after WikiLeaks released this data, an associate of the high-ranking Trump campaign official sent a text message to Stone that read, well done. Well, you're making an assumption here. I'd like to be the attorney for that. I'd get this guy off in court. Good God. Then they wrote Stone, and it's all every time they mention Stone's name, it's in all caps. That's to express their rage, I guess. We also know that we had all kinds of people inside the FBI. We had Sally Yates, and we had Andrew McCabe, and we had Peter Stroke, and Lisa Page, his girlfriend with whom he was cheating on his wife, and, you know, on the Xerox machine at the Justice Department, and making copies and faxing them to his friends. I just made that part up, too, so it's the difference between me and NBC. In the course of his House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence testimony, Stone made deliberate false and misleading statements concerning requests he made for information from the head of WikiLeaks. So he was asked, did you ask WikiLeaks to give you more stuff that they had? And he said, no, I didn't. And then, aha, aha, you did ask WikiLeaks for more stuff. Is it illegal to ask WikiLeaks for more stuff? No. Is it illegal to try to get in front of the WikiLeaks thing? No, no. But then you're in front, and it's a Republican committee again, and they say that he misled. Now, yeah, they haven't convicted him. The news media has convicted him because the news media, as we saw with Brett Kavanaugh, with Catholic school children from Kentucky, they don't believe in due process. They don't believe in fair play. Even Lee Harvey Oswald, a Democrat, believed in fair play for Cuba, but no fair play for Americans, not from these people. And the entire indictment goes on and on and on. It's, what is it, 40-some-odd pages? It's 40-some-odd pages? 24 pages? 24 pages, I'm sorry. It's 24 pages long. And I've done a quick look. I haven't read the 24 pages yet because I have a job. And they mention the word Russia 11 times in the 24 pages. But the ones I've seen so far is we were investigating Russian collusion, and as far as I can tell, they haven't found any. Oh, isn't it amazing? And I want to just, before I get further into this, because he's accused, there are 7 counts, right? And it's talking to WikiLeaks and then not telling the truth to a congressional committee, they say, based on emails and text messages that they grabbed. And once again, it's a, what, you don't remember this email from Tuesday, June 4th, 2016, in which the last sentence says, and follow back on WikiLeaks, would you? That's it. That's what they're putting them in prison for. That's why the pre-dawn El Chapo raid. That's why they went through the doors like they were going in for a drug kingpin who they knew was strapped to the teeth and ready to unload magazine after magazine on them when they came through the door. But they knew that wasn't the case, but the heavy-handed, the ham-handed, I don't like talking about law enforcement this way. I really don't. But this is BS. This is a crock of BS, the way they've gone about this. And the whole schmear is quite remarkable. Because fake news organizations won't do it, I want to bring a couple of other things into the discussion here. So that's their big arrest, and they've got 7 charges, and it's not about Russia, and it's not about collusion. Okay? And, again, the crimes, the alleged crimes, were 6 of the 7. Okay? 6 of the 7. They say they're 5 charges of lying to the House Select Permanent Committee, Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, okay, making false statements. All of the statements apparently have to do with conversations they were having about getting a lead on WikiLeaks, okay? That's it. That's not Russia. That's not Russian collusion. That's none of that. That's opposition research. That's stuff that was in the newspapers. And campaigns often try to get out in front of stuff that's in the newspapers. That's everyday stuff. That's walking down the street chewing gum. That's perfectly normal. Here's another one from just a little background for you here. The Washington Times, your newspaper of record in Washington, D.C., from November 1st, 2017, a year and a couple of months ago. The headline is, FBI agents manhandled Manafort and his wife during pre-dawn raid in intimidation effort. Just how rough Special Counsel Robert Mueller is playing with Paul Manafort goes back before this week's indictment to the FBI's no-knock raid in July. It has been reported that the agents checked Mr. Manafort and his wife, Kathleen, for guns as they broke into his Alexandria condo pre-dawn by picking the lock. A source familiar with the case told the Washington Times the search was even more intrusive. An agent patted down Mrs. Manafort before she was allowed to get out of bed. Agents felt up Mrs. Manafort lying in bed to see if she had guns. Did they have female agents there to do that? Because that could be a violation of her civil rights. The source said of the intimidation. In all, 12 agents entered the home, guns drawn, and stayed for hours. It's what happened this morning, too. Okay. Now, this is fine because they're wanted criminals. They're outlaws. They wanted to find out what WikiLeaks was up to. The aggressive search of a prone sleeping woman, the source said, a hallmark of Mr. Mueller's top prosecutor, Andrew Weissman. This is this crook that has had everything he's done overturned. He's crucified people, and then later on, when they're in jail, Weissman's case is thrown out of court on appeal because he's very loose with the law, right? Andrew Weissman, not a good actor here. A former mob prosecutor in New York, he specializes in turning witnesses against bigger prey and is not afraid to make things rough for spouses, too. Weissman will want to maximize the trauma to the family, said Sidney Powell, a Dallas appeals attorney, critical of his tactics. Sure, that's just the start. So that's what Paul Manafort gets, and that's what, and that's what Roger Stone gets. Now, let me go back in time again. This is from December 4th of 2017. Top Clinton aides face no charges after making false statements to FBI. Okay, now this is no guns drawn, no early morning raids. Democrats, in good with the people that are arresting everybody here, it stinks of corruption, my friends. It smells. I am more pro-law enforcement than anybody at CNN. I can tell you that damn much. And this stinks of third world, Soviet-style political persecution of political enemies. Now, let me just continue here. This is the Daily Caller. The FBI agent who was fired from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation, Russia investigation team, for sending anti-Donald Trump text messages, conducted the interviews with two Hillary Clinton aides accused of giving false statements about what they knew about the former Secretary of State's private email server. You know, the one that they said they had no classified information on and there was tons of classified information on. Some of them, they actually stripped the classifications off of them and then emailed them, which is a second violation of law, by the way. FBI Section Chief Peter Stroke showed a pattern of bias on the Mueller team. But another Stroke interview subject was not so lucky. Michael Flynn, we know about that. And they reported. And then it turns out that it was Stroke, and then we had Christopher Wray. All these people have been fired for improprieties, by the way. Now, they're not charged, but let me jump actually now to the... This is the Washington Examiner, October 17th of 2018. Federal judge, quote, shocked, end quote, Clinton aide Cheryl Mills was granted immunity by the Department of Justice. A federal judge said he was shocked to find out that longtime Hillary Clinton aide Cheryl Mills had been granted immunity from the Justice Department during the FBI's investigation of the Hillary Clinton server. During a hearing in D.C. on Friday, U.S. District Court Judge Royce Lamberth made the comment about Ms. Mills, Clinton's former chief of staff, during his opening remarks referring to when he read the Department of Justice Inspector General report. The judge said, I had myself found Cheryl Mills had committed perjury and lied under oath in published opinion I had issued in a Judicial Watch case where I found her unworthy of belief, and I was quite shocked to find out she had been given immunity by the Justice Department in the Hillary Clinton email case. So I did not know that until I read the Inspector General report and learned that, and that she had accompanied the secretary to her interview. See, the chief of staff, the Democrats, the FBI, they let their witnesses and possible subjects of the investigation come in and sit in on the Hillary Clinton love fest, where they had us like a little rub and a hug, and Hillary, these are the other suspects in the case, and Peter Stroke, who we know is crooked and has been fired for being crooked, he allowed the other subjects in the investigation to come in and sit in the Hillary Clinton interview, so they're all on the same page for the next interview. The judge knows that she committed perjury and she lied, which is more than Paul Manafort's accused of. And she was given immunity by the corrupt, I'm sorry to say, Justice Department and FBI, which has two standards for two different parties, two standards of justice. I'm ashamed of our country today.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
My parents do a lot to keep me safe, and with our new smoke and carbon monoxide alarms, they've got some extra help. Mom says the alarms are made by Kia, and they're really smart. They can talk to each other, so if there's a fire anywhere in our house, they beep in every room, and we can get out faster. They're a great way to make sure our house is safe. But when it comes to checking under the bed for monsters, I'll leave that one to Dad.
Introducing intelligent wire-free smoke and carbon monoxide alarms from Kia. Get yours today at your local home improvement store.
My digestive system used to make me feel sluggish. Now I feel great. That's because I kicked off 2019 with the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge, and I'm still hooked. I just took Metamucil every day for 14 days. It's really that easy. Metamucil traps and removes the waste that weighs you down, so you feel lighter and more energetic. Now I never want to go back to that heavy feeling. Are you ready for the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge? For a coupon and daily support, sign up at Metamucil.com today. Available at Walmart and Walmart.com.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel. As a wise and educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Suffering needlessly with allergy symptoms, unwise. Getting a free 10-day sample of Zizol, quite wise. Zizol is the allergy medicine that's just as effective at hour 24 as at hour 1, which makes getting a free 10-day sample one of the wisest things you can do. So don't be unwise. Be wise all and visit Zizol.com for your free sample today. Use as directed.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When you're always on the go, what would you prefer? An office phone system?
Hey, it's Rochelle. Sorry I missed you earlier. Had an errand to run, but I'm back in the office, so give me a call when you get this.
Or one that works on your cell phone. No hardware needed, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Oh, one sec. It's a business call. Hi, this is Rochelle with WayForward Partners. How can I help?
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
All right, so Cheryl Mills, Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, and Huma Abedin, her lover, both lied to Peter Stroke. Wait, what did I say? Both lied to Peter Stroke when they were being interviewed. They said they didn't know nothing about no server. They claimed on April 9th, 2016, Mills did not learn Clinton was using a private email server until after Clinton's State Department tenure. Mills stated she was not even sure she knew what a server was at the time. That's what she said. Huma Wiener did not know that Clinton had a private, it's Abedin, it says, did not know that Clinton had a private server until about a year and a half ago when it became public knowledge, according to the summary Peter Stroke did with it. And also, you remember they invited Hillary's friends in for the FBI interview, and they had, you know, they brought in lunch or something, and they didn't record it in any way, which is a violation of standard operating procedure as well. Okay, so they both denied that they knew anything about the server when they're talking to the FBI, and then emails later revealed that they had been emailing about their concerns about the server. Undercutting those denials are email exchanges in which both Mills and Abedin either directly discussed or were involved in discussing Hillary Clinton's private email server. HRC email coming back. Is server okay? Mills asked in a February email to Abedin. You are funny. We're on the same server. They knew about it. They lied. They got a pass.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.